Hey, guys. You ready to let the dogs out?
Live from Chicago, this is the Abe Cannon Show.
Unleash the fury!
Yes, welcome to the Abe Cannon Show. Horrible weather. I usually don't mind the weather, but today was...
This has been the worst winter of my lifetime.
Here's my question. Where do homeless people go when it's this cold out? Like, are they all in shelters?
Well, I think they try to get there.
No, like, there's no homeless people on the street. And during the summer, there's a lot. So where are they at now?
Well... the way shelters work is you could come there in the evening, but you have to leave in the morning, so you can't stay there day and night.
I mean, they're probably at work.
The homeless guys.
Yeah.
No, I'm serious.
I don't know. If I was homeless, we've talked about this on the show before.
Well, yeah, I would keep. I would
start walking.
Well, I'd actually walk west.
Yeah.
Just walk west and south. You know, west and a little south.
Yeah, why would homeless people want to stay in Chicago?
Well,
I guess you want to be where money's at, so you want to be in a
then go to
urban,
South Beach,
a big downtown.
Go to Hollywood.
Yeah.
I'd be in Hollywood.
Yeah, I'm with you, Ryan. I would just walk southwestern.
What else do you have to do? Yeah.
Maybe they're all just waiting to see if the Cubs win the World Series, and then they'll all just migrate to the south.
That could be.
I mean, it is horrible. It is horrible, though. Honestly, I feel horrible when I see people in this weather. You know, in the morning with 10 blankets on, they're wet. It's really sad.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. If you're newly homeless, there's not much you could do this winter. But if you continue to be homeless, you need to get a plan going to get to California before the winter hits. Because, like you said, it makes absolutely no sense. And my other question is, if you're homeless, why aren't you doing what you're doing in the winter during the summer for shelter? Like, why are you out all day?
Say that again.
So if you're homeless, there's obviously places you could go, right?
Mm-hmm.
Shelters and such.
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't you taking advantage of those resources during the summer also?
Oh,
well, they do.
Not really, because all the homeless guys by my apartment are out 24/7 during the summer, and then I don't
see
them.
Well, that's not homeless. That's alcoholics, because you live, you live next to a big liquor store.
I think
those people have homes.
Abe, I do think, you know, maybe they do visit the shelter, but just for maybe a meal or two and, I don't know, a bath, but then...
Are there showers and stuff there?
I would hope. I mean...
I don't know, but all I know about shelters are the movie Dutch with Ed O'Neill and that rich kid.
Mm-hmm.
When he falls on the cot?
Yeah. That's the only thing I know about a shelter. And then they're all, like, taking showers in the sinks.
Yeah.
It's like, you ready for your Thanksgiving dinner, buddy?
But then after they do that in the summer, why would they want to stay in that room with a bunch of other homeless people? Like, you want to get out.
Well, there must be no AC in there, right?
Well, you always hear some sort of story of a homeless guy underneath Wacker who, like, cracked cable or found some way of living underneath Wacker. So I think a lot of those guys are kind of doing their own thing. They don't need this. I mean, some of them find their spots where they don't really need to go to the shelter.
And that is true. Homeless, I think homeless people, I think we make them off to be worse off than they are. Like, they adapt. I mean, it's like any creature. You
well, it's
know
like
how
Les
to
Schrupp, Survivor Man, right?
Yeah.
He's in the worst conditions, mm-hmm. and he starts drinking out of like a puddle of ant feces or something. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, the water's still good if you put a straw in.
Yeah.
Like, he figures it out.
Yeah.
You know, there's a dead deer. Oh, well, there's maggots on top, but if you cut off the first inch of meat, that's all good meat underneath. You're right. There's ways to figure things out.
You know, they get excited to pick up leaves in the morning and like, let the dew run into their mouth. And it's refreshing. That's Gatorade to them. We're versatile creatures. More than we give ourselves credit for.
The only good thing about the winter is that all the gangbangers aren't out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, gangbangers love the summer.
Yeah.
They're out all, like,
because they have no air conditioning, so they just sit outside and they cause trouble. You're right.
But in the winter, they're gone.
There's not
much trouble during the winter.
Well, you're that's why murders are down.
I mean, the murders
are down in Chicago. They're down 50% from what they were in January of 2013.
And you know why? Because last January it wasn't that bad out.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So
but,
Rob
you know,
is bragging. He's like, we did it.
And that's
the
what I was going to say.
He's like, hip, hip, hooray! Hip, hip,
hooray!
Like, you know.
And
oh, he's a jolly good fellow. He's a jolly good fellow. We'd like to bring in the police chief. Congratulations. He's saying they're getting an award.
Right.
Meanwhile, it's because it's what is it right now, Sam? 11 below zero or something?
I mean, it's like two below. Wind chill's like 17 below right
now. If he could just explain why he's making all the handicapped people pay for parking, he should be clean from here on out.
We'll get to that after the celebration.
Yeah. Come on.
But
someone say champagne.
You know what's really what gets me on that one is the police spokesperson said weather neither causes nor prevents crime.
Yeah,
that
right.
That was when someone said, what about the fact that we've had 11 sub-zero days in January? And he's like, completely dismissive. Just wait until that first 70-degree day in May.
Right.
When 100 people are dead.
Yeah.
It's the weather. I mean, they blame the weather. You can't have it both ways.
Let's test this theory
out. You can't duck the weather
and then
blame the weather.
Let's go to the Middle East with a bunch of snow guns and just shoot them down all over so it looks like it's snowing. Let's have a blizzard in the Middle East, and I guarantee no one will be. That's how you end all struggles in the Middle East. A blizzard.
Snow.
A blizzard. Yeah.
That's what we should do.
That's the peace treaty we want.
He's too good. I will terrorize in a month.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just, you know, they're fighting over there.
I guess it was about weather all along, wasn't it?
Yeah. No one's going to fight during weather. Think about it. Everyone who fights, all wars, all gangbangers, everyone who fights anywhere, they all have beautiful weather.
Ryan, we should do a study. I bet you there is a direct correlation to, in this city even, to the number of murders correlated to the temperature.
Mm-hmm.
I would almost guarantee you there's a one-to-one correlation.
And I bet that study I bet we could find it. I bet you it's been done.
And the police chief obviously burned it if they said there's no correlation.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a terrorist wearing a coat? Ever?
Well, yeah, that's where they put the bomb inside.
Oh, that's true.
But then everyone knows they're a terrorist. It's like, hey, dude, it's 95 degrees out. And then by that, it's like, ah! Like, it's too late, but...
Honey, does that terrorist have a north face?
Oh, no!
Oh,
no! It's a bomb! I'm on to something here, I'm telling you.
It's remarkable what happens, I think... Right about now, yesterday, I saw a picture that I haven't seen in a long time of Wrigley Field. It was a picture that I took of Wrigley Field, mm-hmm. and this is not a joke. It sounds like a joke. I did a double take at the green.
Like haven't seen green grass in such a long time,
right? It wasn't that I was like, oh, what is this green substance? It was I just needed to go back and look at it again to see it.
Yeah, it's been so long.
Yeah.
It's like a dream, isn't it?
Yeah, it just doesn't seem like that, whatever that is, exists on this planet.
It doesn't help that, you know, we do the show at the Tribune Tower on Michigan Avenue. All the trees still have Christmas lights on.
Yeah.
So it's like, take those lights off and let's get to, you know,
speed it along.
Yeah, let's get things moving here.
So those lights are responsible.
They are, because it's...
But if you take those down, this place is just depressing.
I know,
there's nothing worse than walking down just cold... miserable streets without anything to look at.
But you know what those lights tell me? That it's not ending anytime soon. Like, when you take your Christmas tree down, you're like, oh, Christmas is over.
Well, Punxsutawney Phil said we have 6 weeks left last week, so we're at about 5 weeks and counting.
You know what it is, at least for me, when I see the very first St. Patrick's Day decoration on someone's house, door, whatever, that's when I know, I'm not saying we're in the clear, but that's when you start...
It's coming.
That's when you start saying, okay, all right, it is coming. It might not be for a little while, but this is where the hope begins.
Usually that happens for me when I see something about Mardi Gras. Then I'm like, people are going south. We're flipping the page. It's getting better.
Ryan, that doesn't apply to me because I live in Beverly, and every house is decorated for St. Patrick's Day
all
year
round.
Oh, that's right.
That's all I see.
And then there's beer cans right on the lawn also to get you ready for the parade.
I think even almost Valentine's Day decorations...
Not this year.
I know.
Valentine's Day is in a week.
But what happens, there's another point. So what happens is at Valentine's Day, you think like, okay, we just made it through, a big stretch of the most depressing part. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
By Valentine's Day, you're halfway through, a little more than halfway through the most depressing.
Well, yeah, it's like when you're in school and you're in the fourth quarter of the year, the end of the second, like, it was half, you know, you have one quarter of the year left. Yeah. You're like, we're close.
You're right. I think the third or fourth week of January is historically the coldest week of the year on average. So we're heading up.
And there's nothing. I mean, there's nothing to look forward to. Nothing going on at all.
And February is a pretty bad month. I mean, there's no more football. There's nothing really there's nothing in February that makes you want to be like, oh, at least this is coming up. You have to wait for March.
Yeah, February does suck. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so what do we have? We have the Bulls, right?
Yeah.
The Hawks. I mean, we do have the Hawks who are, you know.
And then everybody counts down to spring training.
Yeah.
Not me.
I'm
a White Sox fan, so that's not going to help out for the next few years.
The Olympics are tonight, so maybe that makes people somewhat
Olympics start tomorrow, actually.
I think the opening ceremonies are tonight, right?
Oh.
I don't know about that. It's tonight's Jay Leno's last episode, so I don't think they're going to cut him off.
Oh, but they would.
No, he's not.
It'll be the first time they've given that guy the shot.
I know for a fact tonight's his last episode.
Tomorrow.
So that
they still put the Tonight Show on.
No, that's the reason why his last show isn't a Friday, because they're starting the Olympics tomorrow.
I think I heard a commercial for something on NBC.
It starts tonight.
Okay. I was going to say I heard a commercial for something that sounded like an Olympic preview.
Tonight, figure skating, freestyle skiing, and snowboarding. It looks like some of it's already happened.
Hmm.
You sure?
I just Googled it. February 6th.
It is Sochi, right?
Guys, I mean,
there's no rules, there's no
schedule.
No, it started, but the time difference is so much different, Base, that we watch it later.
Yeah, that's probably true. They might air it afterwards.
Who cares? Going back, I don't care about the Winter Olympics.
Yeah. I don't really care.
We will not cover the Winter Olympics. I promise you that much. How about stray animals? We talked about the homeless. There's always like three or four stray. Do they just die? Or, I mean, who, there's always stray cats in every neighborhood.
Unfortunately, they do.
Is that true?
Yeah. I mean, not all of them, but they're, I wish I hadn't clicked a link last week or the last time we got nailed with minus 30 degree temperatures, and I clicked a link and it was bad news. It was gross. A lot of
dead animals?
The link was, I mean, it was supposed to be funny and I didn't find it that funny, but and now you guys are going to laugh.
People
would find the animals frozen and prop them up like they were standing on the side of the road. There were all these deer just standing, but they were dead.
That's terrible, actually.
That's horrible.
Cats and stuff. Yeah. That's a lot of them do.
It's a bad place for stray animals. Like, get your pet spayed or neutered if you're in Chicago. I mean, if you're in California, at least they could run wild and, I mean, they might get eaten by coyotes or something
like that. It's a bad place for anybody in January and February. Like, we should all take a long vacation every year. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I get seasonal depression. Like, I feel down.
Well, that's why
this time of the year every year.
That's why all cruises and vacations right now are really, really expensive.
Not really. Vegas is pretty cheap right now.
Vegas is always cheap.
No, it's not.
They just want you to go there and spend money.
For some reason, it's expensive during the summer, which is why would you go to Vegas in the summer? That makes no sense. Like, you're here. People who leave this city who live here between April and August are morons. Why would you ever leave this city during that time?
Yeah.
It's the only time you want to be here. Right?
Yeah.
Leave now.
You're right.
I don't get all these people think, I'm going on my 2-week summer vacation. Why? Take your vacation in January.
Take all of it.
Yeah.
Take all of it right now. Lump it all together.
And even in December, it's like, you know, you're taking 3 weeks in December, 2 weeks. Let's spread that out. Take a week in the beginning of December, a week at the end of December, a week in the middle of January, and a week in the middle of February. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Spread that, and then just work straight through to December.
Yeah.
I realize holidays, days like Valentine's Day, Christmas breaks, it's all just ways to make people not work. For people, like,
who's off on Valentine's Day?
It's just another thing. It's just, everything is just created. Why, if you want to take your girlfriend out to dinner, take her out to dinner. If you want to take your wife out to dinner, if you want to buy her some flowers, buy her some flowers. You don't need someone to tell you, buy her flowers.
This sounds like a guy who can't get a date.
I was going to say, you explain that to everyone's girlfriend or wives out there.
No, I know. My point is that all these things are created to get us through. Like Ryan even said, there's nothing to look forward to.
If there wasn't a thing like Christmas, December would suck too. I think Jesus was born in the summer, right? They created Christmas, now we in December, be what I'm looking forward to.
A Jewish man talks about Christmas.
Tell us more, Bass.
So when the Jewish people took Jesus.
All right.
Turn his mic up.
Stop.
Tomorrow, Easter.
Yeah. Easter with Daniel Levy.
Next week, Moses.
We're gonna finish this week with a bang, aren't we?
Yeah. The guy who once told us that he used to stare at kids doing Easter egg hunts out his front window, jealous and crying, saying, "Mom, I want an egg."
I wanted to sit on Santa's lap,
can't
too.
Can't wait to hear what he thinks about Easter.
That is true, Bass. You were upset about Easter egg hunts.
I was upset that my mom wouldn't let me sit on Santa's lap when I was a kid.
It honestly isn't fair because, you know, the three of us got to celebrate things like Christmas and Easter, but Bass, who's Jewish, it's not fair. It really isn't.
We had a holiday that allowed us not to eat bread for 8 days. You guys got chocolate.
But Bass, Hanukkah, you get 12 days of gifts.
8 days, and they're eight not days. Gifts. It's like a day of batteries, a day of light bulbs.
Yeah, Bass, tell that story about how your mom gave you one Nintendo.
They would give us a Nintendo, but then the next day would be the batteries or the cord for the Nintendo. The remote control for the television that will allow me to turn to the channel 3 that we don't get unless you manually put it in.
Yeah, on Thursday you get Duck Hunt.
Exactly.
So it was one item, just she opened the box and broke it into pieces.
Exactly.
Can you imagine that? Like, here's the second controller. Oh, God. I should have everything out. No, Daniel, not yet.
Day 6, the box.
Wait till day 8, Daniel, and you get the plug.
Day 8, the receipt, in case you want to return it now.
You know what would be the biggest buzzkill? If she gave you the system on day 1. So you get the Nintendo, right? Mm-hmm. You're like, yes! And then you realize everything's missing. Then day 2, it's just downhill. One controller. Day 3, the second controller. Day 4, Duck Hunt. Day 5, batteries. Day 6, the gun.
And then on the 8th day, I get the cord and I find out the Nintendo's broken and I have to go return it and wait in line again.
And you can't return it because she ripped the box open so horribly.
Yeah, I wouldn't have assuming, I don't know what you were like as a child, but I wouldn't have wanted to give you the important pieces of the Nintendo first. I would want you to have the cord first.
Because he would play with
first.
It. He'd be putting dirt inside the Nintendo.
Look at this. I can put my hand in. Mom!
Pop-Tarts.
Smashing it on the ground. Yeah, you're right. Pop-Tarts.
What do you mean this thing doesn't toast?
I thought it was a toaster.
Yeah.
You're right. You give him the box. You rip pieces of the box off and give it to him. Then day 8, you give him the whole Nintendo.
Well, day 1, you're like, oh, I got a really cool box this year. Awesome.
Bass, you always understood, right? You didn't at one point say, like, why do I have this Nintendo box? You knew it was coming, right?
Well, the minute they took the leash off of me, I figured things out.
You weren't like running around your school with an AV cable, were you? Look what I got for Hanukkah.
Isn't it like that?
What do you mean you got the whole thing on Christmas? That's not fair.
Isn't it like the 12-year-old kid who still claims he believes in Santa Claus, but inside he knows he doesn't? That's how Bass was, like, pretending like he didn't know the rest of the Nintendo was coming.
Gee, Mom, there's two controllers.
What could it be?
I wonder what's coming.
Yeah, Danny, you really don't have any idea?
Like the 12-year-old kid, and you keep telling him Santa Claus is coming. He's like, yeah, I can't wait. You think Santa's going to – you think I'm on his naughty list, Mom? I don't know. We'll find out soon. And when do you tell your parents that you don't believe in Santa Claus anymore?
Like, you tell me.
What?
You tell me. When did you tell your parents?
I don't know. I think I at some point it's almost like you don't believe in Santa, right?
Well, you were probably big enough to where your mom was asking you to play Santa at family parties at 6.
Do you guys remember, though, there was like a, you almost didn't, when you realized Santa wasn't real, you didn't want to tell your mom.
See, that's what I'm saying.
You were embarrassed to say anything. Like, you.
How do I do it?
Right.
Yeah, it's almost like confronting, you know, it would be like the same. To me, telling her that I knew about Santa would have been harder than if I caught her in bed with another man other than my father. Jesus. And I would have been like, no, I'm serious. Like, you know, I mean, if that would have been a harder conversation. Like, what was that?
I beg to differ. I'm pretty sure if you saw Joanne in bed with another man, the last thing you'd be thinking of was Santa.
What was Cowboy Curtis doing in bed, Mom?
No, I wouldn't have been thinking of Santa unless it was Santa she was in bed with.
No, that would have been weird.
What I'm
he is real.
Is
it was Gary, but you thought it was, how about this?
You're the ho, ho, ho?
No, let's say you caught her in bed with Santa Claus, but it actually was your dad. And then all these years, you thought you were hiding the fact that your mom had an affair with Santa.
Yeah.
Cause
that would have been crazy. Really, that's a crazy thing, because I would say, Mom, this is a difficult conversation. I accidentally walked by and I saw what happened. Also, I know that Santa's not real. So I don't know. I don't know what that was then, because I'm real confused.
Yeah.
I think you may have had an imaginary affair.
I'm surprised that when you guys found out, you didn't go straight to your mother and go, how could you lie to me like that?
I could see Bass doing that.
Yeah, no.
I can't imagine you guys saying, what do you mean? What else have you been lying
to
me about?
But that's a Bass characteristic. Yeah, it is. That's the thing.
But by the time you find out, you realize why she didn't tell you.
I mean, do you have to fess up? I don't think I ever said, I don't think I ever told my mom I don't believe.
It's just accepted,
yeah,
right?
It's like a mutual consent.
No,
And now he's 18, he mustn't believe anymore.
No, I think you hit a point where you don't, I mean, your mom's embarrassing herself with all the nonsense, and I think if you have a heart, you want it to stop.
She's
you
like,
say,
she's,
mom,
she's
okay.
Going like this in the other room.
Yeah.
Abe, are those reindeer on the roof? Mom, I'm 14.
Let's go outside and sprinkle some, like, sparkly stuff on the grass for the reindeer and, you know, put the carrots out. The whole charade, it's just, like, time-consuming. When you're a kid and you know and you don't want to be going through those motions, put glitter on the front lawn so the reindeer can see the house.
Ryan, did you...
No!
For Ryan and Bass, did your parents actually go to the lengths of having a Santa show up at the house?
Yes.
My mom didn't do any of that.
Funny well, yeah, enough, Bass, yeah, of course.
What we were just describing, I have photos of my dad in a Santa suit.
Looking exactly like your dad,
but,
right?
But when Kevin and I were sleeping... In the room, like, you know, looking at, like, you know, it wasn't creepy, but, like, you know, Santa was, like, looking at us in bed to make sure we were asleep before he put the presents out, and it looks just like my dad. I don't know how I didn't know that.
That's my point. How dumb are kids when it's your dad, you see his face, he's wearing a Santa outfit.
He sounds just like your dad.
Yeah, he sounds like
your dad's
him.
Not in the room.
All he's wearing is a red hat.
Yeah.
See, he should wear one of those Jabba Wookiee masks, and then you would never know.
That's the thing. Put Santa. Cover. Santa has too much face showing.
Santa should be a gorilla.
Yeah. Put Santa in a black ski mask, a full-on... from now on, Santa in a black ski mask.
Nothing says jolly like a black ski mask.
No, a gorilla. If he was wearing a gorilla mask...
That would scare every
child.
No,
it wouldn't be. Not
if you didn't tell me, you wake up and you see a black gorilla grabbing your tree, you're
a gorilla
not
comes
like,
down to your fireplace?
Yeah.
No, if Santa was a gorilla.
Abe's the only one that would be like, that's awesome.
No,
guys,
okay,
I think
Bass.
The gorilla's here.
Bass, you have to remember.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. Is everyone excited? Oh, you
there's Santa.
Presents.
No, Bass. I think you just threw poop at me.
Abe, you would have so many opportunities for work that night if it was going to be a gorilla.
Bass, you have to remember, I grew up with an Easter bunny, a tooth fairy. Why is a gorilla? Like, why does that set things
because
over the
an
edge?
Easter bunny is cute. A gorilla is a scary creature.
Bass, not all Easter bunnies are cute, dude. Honestly, I mean, just do a Google search for Easter bunnies. I mean, Bass,
I
think the majority of Easter bunnies are freaky.
I think they're cool looking.
No.
Oh, you mean like I think bunnies in general, like the actual animal.
Of course, bunnies, but there's no such thing as an Easter bunny, Bass. That's not a real animal. But if you look for Easter bunny, what you will find is a bunch of weird old men who made their own costume, and I don't know what picture they were using as reference, but they look like burn victims with big teeth and floppy ears. Yeah, there you go. Sam's pulling them up now. They're disgusting.
Wow, that is pretty gross.
And if you think about the Easter Bunny's function, I mean, the Easter Bunny hides eggs and brings you candy. The Easter Bunny's a creep.
But all that together, I would still prefer a creepy Easter Bunny.
Shh, wait, Daniel,
than a gorilla
Daniel,
rocking through my
Daniel,
apartment.
Daniel, what's that I hear on the roof?
The Christmas gorilla.
That would make things easier because, like you said, your dad has his face, mm-hmm. and then he's wearing that Santa. And then the whole time you're like, oh, it's Santa. Mm-hmm. Like, kids are...
I wish Dad was here to share this moment with
me. Yeah, why is Dad never around? That's a good question, too. How come no one ever asked that question? Hey, where's Dad?
I think the thinking is that you'll just be too enamored with Santa.
Well, then that's what happens.
Yeah.
Like, I remember my mom made Sam and I hide underneath our dining room table. Remember that, Sam?
Yep.
And our grandpa put on black boots and red pants. It was walking by. And that sold me on Santa because I don't know how they did this or if I was hallucinating, but she said, now look out the window. And I swear to God, I saw something like flying in the air. She's like, that's Santa.
See, that was the origin of your psychosis.
It could have been.
Now, had it been a gorilla, that wouldn't have fooled you so fast.
It would be much better if you're,
all you see is just banana peels dropping to the ground.
Abe, I think what you were going to say is when you said that sold me on Santa.
Yeah.
Where, for me at least, when I saw those pictures of Santa looking at me and Kevin and I, for probably a good few years after, whenever our friends would deny Santa's existence, we would say, guys, we have pictures. We have the proof. You know, and I would bring them to school the next day and use them as evidence. But for you, I mean, you probably defended it too. You said, no, I saw it. Yeah.
I saw him flying.
I saw the red pants and the boots outside my window.
And then he was like, ho, ho, ho. We're like, and Sam and I, we had Thundercats and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great day. But it is weird. Like, you just assume that your dad, for some reason, is gone. Oh, yeah, and then they'd always make up a lie. Oh, he's feeding the reindeer. Isn't that what my mom used to say? Like, hey, where's Uncle Rick at? Because he was just here 2 minutes ago. Oh, he's feeding Santa's reindeer. They're hungry, too, Abe. I'm like, oh, that makes sense. Everything makes sense when you're a little kid because people are lying to you. Everyone's lying.
That's what I'm saying to you.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah. We start our life
getting lied to left and right.
I don't even know what age it stops. 12? Never.
I spell. I used to spell to tell like my mom and my brother Sam things that my little brother, I didn't want him to hear. So I'd be like, H-E-Y-M-O-M, W-H-E-N-A-R-E-A-R-E-W-E-G-O-I-N-G-T-O-T-H-E-S-T-O-R-E. So I'd like spell, hey, mom, when are we going to the store? And he'd be like, what are you spelling? Tell me. So, like, until a kid could spell, it's horrible for him.
It's like playing keep away with everything in life. That's what it is. It's just, it's messing with them.
What would it be like to be completely honest with your kids from day one?
That's really interesting.
I would love to raise a kid and just treat them like a human being.
Like an adult.
And you know where it starts?
Take them to the bar.
Charging them rent.
Not even as an adult.
Mac and cheese is in the cabinet. And I'll be back around 9.
But you know where it starts.
Make sure that furnace stays at 68.
Yeah.
68.
It starts with that baby talk. You ever hear the way people talk to babies? How you doing? Hello. Hello. Like, if you stop that and you said, hey, what's up, Jackson or Bob or Jim or whatever, don't give him a stupid name. If your name's Michael, call him Michael.
I wonder what would happen. I mean, I do think that the sound that the way we talk to babies, I think, is probably comforting to babies.
I don't believe that. Wow. We think it is. Why? Has that ever been proven?
Yeah, I mean, you can't ask a baby, was that comforting? I don't know. It's not like there's hard data on that.
Yes, it was fantastic.
I think that if a baby is crying, a baby would stop crying faster if they heard something comforting rather than, Michael, stop it.
No, not stop it, but like, hey.
Hey, Mike, you are all right? You need a Kleenex, Michael? I don't know, man. Bros don't cry. That's all I'm going to say.
If you
need to talk about it, I'll be watching TV.
Yeah.
No, like, hey, Mike, you okay, man? Chill out, dude.
Yeah.
Mike, just have a cigarette, Mike.
Mike.
That'll calm you down.
Is there any baby that's known as Mike? Think about that. Have you ever heard of a baby named Mike? It's always Mikey.
And who's this little puddle of joy?
Oh, that's Mike.
That's true. There's no baby named Mike.
Yeah. Hey, Big Earn in Texas, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, man? Congratulations, you guys, on your show, man. I've been listening from day one again, and it's awesome, man. I don't see no difference from last time, so.
Thanks. What's up? What's up, Big Earn? So you lie to your daughter also about Santa?
No, that's what I was going to ask you. My daughter's only 4. She's going to be 5 soon. And I'm wondering, do I want to lie to her from the beginning and tell her there's a Santa Claus? Or I kind of feel bad lying, like making up this story about Santa Claus and sitting her down saying somebody's going to bring the presents and all that. But it's kind of like, I feel bad lying to her. Or should I just from the beginning, you know, just tell her, you know what, there's no Santa, he's not real. Or what would you guys do? I know you guys don't have kids, but... You think that's kind of messed up the light of them, ain't it? I think it is.
Yeah, well, see, the problem is that all the other... See, and I'm not against telling them there's a Santa only because all the other kids are going to have Santa. Kind of like Bass, who was Jewish, he didn't get to enjoy Santa. I'm more into, like, treating them like adults and working in a few lies. Like Santa and maybe a couple others, but that's it. Talk to Mike like he's a normal guy. You okay, Mike? You want a bottle, Mike?
All right, it's going to be kind of weird when they find out. From other kids at school, that there's no Santa, and then he comes home from school and asks me, wait, how come they tell me at school there's no Santa, and then you got to explain to them and tell me you're lying the whole time and all that?
Yeah, but there's a lot of things you're going to have to explain to your kids. Like, why is Santa more generous to some kids than others? I remember going to school, and our mom got us, you know, a good amount of presents. But then you have some kids who are like, oh, I got a this and this and this, and I got... It's like thousands of dollars worth of stuff. I'm like, oh, Santa must love you more than me. Mm-hmm. Why is that? I'm a nicer kid. When you see a naughty kid get a lot of presents, that's confusing, too.
That's when you start questioning the integrity of Santa's list.
You're right.
You know.
What's up with that list?
Earn's phone was rough.
Yeah, Big Earn, you are a man of honor, and thanks for calling in, man. Big Earn in Texas.
I bet it's warmer in Texas. God.
Oh, we should ask him.
That's
that.
The first
Texas
thing
sounds nice right about
warm,
now.
Or he was probably had his windows.
It sounded
down.
Like he was smoking a bong or something.
It sounded like a water pipe. It did. It definitely did. The roads aren't all potholed out in Texas.
You know, Bass loves winter, though, right?
I do. Except for this kind of cold, I love it.
No, no, you love it because you could always be late and then just say, weather.
Yeah.
Because the weather.
It's better sleeping.
And, Bass is notorious for his love of naps. I mean, when you say
he's like
that
Garfield.
Someone is known for something, Bass is known for his
I
nap.
I do love a good
Bass
nap.
Bass will never resist a nap. I mean, his day is basically scheduled around naps. Whereas people do it the other way around, like, I got this time in between here. He's like, nope, got a nap.
He's like a cat. He's like a cat.
And in
he?
The winter.
He's Garfield.
In the winter. It is a built-in excuse to never have to leave the house. You don't have to leave.
It's too cold, man. Bass, if you had a litter box, you would be Garfield. That's the only thing separating you from Garfield is a litter box.
Litter box? Yeah. I wish I could nap on the toilet.
They could make a movie called Garfield and just have Bass play Garfield as himself, and no one would know the difference.
I do like lasagna, so maybe.
All right. We do have to take a commercial break. I want to talk about these Facebook movies, because I've noticed how awkward, for those of you who don't know what they are, they're posting these new Facebook movies where it's like a recap of everything you've ever done on Facebook. And I noticed that a lot of the girls I know that aren't, you know, in committed relationships, when you watch their video, it's like 22 guys like making out with them and stuff in a row. And how awkward is that for their, and they all have current boyfriends. So how awkward is that for those guys? We'll take your calls on that too. 312-235-2525 TM Cannon Show. It's WGN FM.
Don't look at me. It's way too soon to see what's gonna be. Don't look at me. All my life, I never knew what I could be, what I could do. Then we were new.
Save Cannon Show, WGN FM, 312-235-2525, 312-235-2525. You want to join us, Ryan? You just showed me a funny picture there. Sochi is apparently out of pillows.
Yeah, I've been keeping up on the latest, you know, the daily disaster, like what happened.
You should add that to our gallery.
Oh, I will.
On,
I'll do that. Like the, you know, the there's every day there's a new thing. Yesterday was when you turn your cell phone on, it's immediately hacked. Today is that they've run out of pillows for the athletes. So they're driving around with these big military trucks collecting pillows from residents.
Is it like Nazi Germany? They're forcing them to give them all their stuff, or is it like they're asking, can we have your pillows?
I think it's
it's probably a strong recommendation.
Right.
A little bit from column A, a little bit from column B.
Like, you know,
What are your pillows?
Like the street fest in Chicago, it's like there's no admission, but the donation is strongly recommended.
Yeah.
And they don't let you in if you don't.
Yeah, exactly.
It.
It's just a guy with a machine gun going, please.
Yeah, where's your pillow?
We're not here for trouble, please. Just the yeah. pillows. Just,
would you like to volunteer up all your pillows and he's holding a machine gun?
I mean, dude, some of these pillows are, they're clearly stained and, I mean, some of them are brown and you know they weren't brown to start with. I wouldn't take the pillow.
Doesn't this make you feel a lot worse that we got rejected for the Olympics?
It really does. Yeah. I agree with you.
I mean, they gave Sochi the Olympics and we got rejected.
What I think happened is they had a really, really bad crop that year. So Sochi was the best of the worst. Like there was no one else up for the games that year that put in a bid that was good.
Well, maybe for the next bid, that should be our slogan. Hey, we have pillows.
Yeah. Hey, we're not Sochi. That's what you say. We have water, toilet paper, toilets.
And all of our hotels are finished.
It was Sochi and Detroit. They
plus, guys, it's just like an election. It's like when you elect a guy to run, you know, some portion of the government, president, local level. I mean, all you're doing is taking him at his word, and they had a really impressive bid. I mean, they said zero waste. We will have zero waste. Yeah. They have 50 illegal landfills.
Yeah. As a result.
I mean, you know, you're just hoping that they're going to be up front and not embezzle a third of the money.
Can't we go in and take out Putin while we're there? Like, isn't he a dictator? I mean, if you really break it down, he kind of is, right?
Yeah.
I mean, look at the stuff he does.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's probably some worse offenders we should worry about right now.
But Putin's horrible.
Yeah, but you can't just take out the president of Russia. That's not.
I'm not saying kill him. I'm saying take him out of power.
Just go on with your day. It doesn't work like that.
Apollo Ono, also a spy.
Maybe that's
don't remember that from the subway commercial. Yeah.
But I mean, look what he's doing.
Yeah,
he has the whole world hostage right now.
Well, people everywhere. I don't think it's Putin's fault.
Yeah.
Really?
Putin's not the one who's building the Olympics.
Putin didn't run out of pillows.
He's the one who.
Isn't he the one who had his buddy build that highway for $10 billion?
$8 billion, and it was, I mean, he awarded his friend I don't think he said, hey, you know, take this thing through the roof.
Of course he did.
He's
in on it. He's getting some of that money too.
Meanwhile, Putin has more pillows than he can probably
get. Yeah, right now he's laying, just to be a jerk, he's laying on 100 pillows.
Oh. I'm sure that Russia.
This is supposed to be Sean White.
These are so comfortable. They're great.
These are Sean White's pillows.
It's okay. I put picture of tigers in every room. Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah. I don't think this is take him out worthy, but maybe take him out like Jeff Galooly, send him in with the thing that he hit Tanya Harding with, or Nancy Kerrigan. Yeah.
You know what this teaches me, honestly? If you're trying to put your bid in for the Olympics, just lie and just say everything they want to hear, because did anyone really believe Sochi was going to have zero
That's
waste?
That's a good point. We should have lied like crazy.
We should have just went to the moon with the lie.
Yes. We're good at that.
Because who's going to audit you in the end? I mean, we see the damage, and it's not going to, you can't just take the Olympics away now and send them to Detroit. I mean, you got to do it now.
Olympic bids are treated like, they should be treated like Match.com profiles. Where everything, like, do you ever look at a Match.com profile? Everything, I'm a sportsman on the weekends, I do art. Like, everything's made up and lies.
And then they look like me, who hasn't seen a gym since I was in high
school.
Yeah,
and then Bass shows up.
You know what they should do? There should be international sanctions against people who don't fulfill the majority of their promises. If they made a good effort, okay, but if you get something like Sochi and you don't do it, there should be some kind of ramifications in place.
Well, that's the problem. There are.
So that everyone doesn't make promises like zero waste.
But you would think like halfway to the point where you're about to have the Olympics, the committee should go down there and be like, okay, where are we at?
And that's the thing. That's where it's, that's
why what are we working with here, guys?
That's exactly why you can't say that it's Putin's fault they're out of pillows and that three of the hotels aren't done. I mean, someone managing the Olympics should have paid a visit before they landed this week.
Well, Ryan, we've talked about this all the time. Like, remember, what was it at the Nelson Mandela memorial service?
Yeah.
They had the guy doing sign language who didn't know how to do sign language. Like, there's no checks and balances.
Right.
In the biggest corporations, there's no checks and balances. The Olympics! Does it get bigger than the Olympics?
I mean, the IOC should have showed up before 15 days ago. I mean, they should have been doing periodic checks.
And they should have said, okay, you said there's no way. Show us how you're going to do this. We need to see it. You can't just bring in like a slideshow. Check this out. No ways. Beautiful new buildings.
And they should have another city. Like, just in case you guys don't meet your standards, we got another one ready to go.
Yeah. Kuwait's ready to go. They want it dead too.
There was another story where they kicked... It was like a senior center, and they kicked these residents out of this home to turn it into a cultural center for the games, and it right now is just like four poles. It's not even a building. They tore it down but didn't rebuild it.
So where did all the old people go?
They had to go somewhere else. They just kicked them out, and then they just threw a tarp over the poles to make it's a half put up foundation, but it was this big thing when it happened when they displace these people.
Maybe they got all the old people to try to work on all the buildings, and maybe that's why it hasn't gotten
completed.
Yeah, they put them to work.
You all pulled landscaping duty.
We're never gonna finish in time.
How about the old? They could work. They haven't worked in years. Lazy. Those lazy old people. Put them to work.
No,
take their pillows.
We can't do it. We're too old. We don't have a home. You will finish.
Yeah.
Trust us.
If you die, you die. That's how it should be ran, like Rocky IV. Have what's his name in Rocky?
Drago.
Drago, yeah.
Yeah, Drago, he's going to be there for Sochi, right?
Is he really Russian or no?
Dolph Lundgren, I'm assuming.
No, I was kidding.
No, I'm saying he probably is.
Drago won't be boxing.
He's probably going to be the one with the torch. He'll be there.
I put that on. It was on TV
Rocky
last
Ford?
Weekend. Yeah, and it was the montage scene where Rocky's training the old-fashioned way, and
Drago's
the machine.
Doing steroids. The ridiculous-looking steroids. Yeah.
Dolph Lundgren is Swedish, by the way.
Oh, I see. Thank you for that.
That's a good montage, though.
It is.
Like,
it's very inspiring.
As far as montages go, that's right up there with the best of them. That's a fantastic
montage.
That
movie has two great montages. It actually has a very sad montage after Apollo passes away.
Oh,
the montage of Rocky
and
Apollo.
No Easy Way Out?
No Easy Way Out, yes.
There's no easy way out.
Thank you, Survivor.
The montage that Ryan is referring to is awesome, all until he gets to the top of the mountain and starts screaming Drago's name. That's the only part where I was like...
Does he scream Drago?
Yeah.
Drago! I'll tell you this, though. The montage scene in the new Sylvester Stallone boxing movie with Robert De Niro, that is not awesome. That's horrible. Sylvester Stallone has had so much surgery done on his face. His face does not move anymore.
You know,
his face got bigger. Have you
and he's become
that?
A worse actor. Like in Rocky One, that was like I think that was his first movie, right? He wrote that, acted in it. He was a great actor in that movie.
That's a stretch.
He has 40... You don't think Rocky One was great acting? No, he did a great job in Rocky One. 40 years later, his acting has just gone downhill. You would think 40 years acting experience, you would get better. He's become a worse actor.
Do you remember when he was in the studio with us?
And everyone
a few years ago,
and everyone at the radio station bought boxing gloves to get autographed.
Yeah. So the more I see his face now, the more I kind of realize something. Back then I never really got starstruck or get that sense of like, oh wow, you know, but I always remember feeling like I couldn't stop staring at Sylvester Stallone.
Except when you meet WGN radio personalities, you get starstruck. That's the only time I've ever seen you. You're like, oh my God, Leslie Kiley!
No, it's because I know Leslie and I haven't seen her in a while. You just heard that conversation.
I'm saying anyone you meet, like any WGN personalities, you do get excited.
Steve Bertrand and I had emailed a lot when I saw Steve yesterday.
You went nuts.
Well, I think we were both excited.
Steve Bertrand! You were more excited than he was. I'm just saying you do get starstruck sometimes.
Okay.
But
so
it's not Hollywood
point,
actors, it's WGN personalities.
Right. But my point is when there have been, you know, famous people in the studio before, I'm like, oh, hey, you know, coffee's down there, blah, blah, blah. But I couldn't stop staring at Stallone and I thought, he's got this magnetic thing, but it was just his deformed face starting to, that was what it was. I was trying to figure out some people have a face.
That dead Petrus face. Yeah.
It's almost like a magic eye picture, like where you need to let your eyes cross to like get it. Their face, something's wrong with it and your eyes don't pick up their face. It's weird. Stallone's got that. He's got that problem. Part of his face doesn't like compute with your eye.
It's funny you say that because I was at Starbucks a few weeks ago and there was a guy in there with a bald head who looked put together for an old man. I couldn't stop looking at his face. I don't know what it was. I could not stop looking. I kept looking back.
You were starstruck.
Yeah, there was something weird about his face. I just couldn't stop. I'm like, ah, I'm like, oh, there it is.
That's the one. Those are the faces I'm talking about.
He kept noticing that I was looking at him, and I'd be like, oh, like you look down, look all around.
Well, usually you don't stare at me like that, so it was really awkward, man.
No, this was like some older guy who looked. I don't know. He's bald, and I don't know. I just couldn't. There's something about his face that you couldn't stop. I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
And still, you're right, Stallone does have that.
Stallone has the face as if he really did take all those punches in the ring. But he never did.
You're right.
Like, you look punch drunk, but you never boxed a day in your life.
And it's funny, too, how Sylvester Stallone's like 70 years old, and he walks around like he is that boxer.
Yeah.
Like, he walks around the way Rocky Marciano would walk around at this age.
And people have him sign, like, boxing gloves. Like, you weren't a real boxer,
no
man.
No problem, man. Yeah.
That's funny.
That is interesting. That'd be like having, you know...
Sean Astin signed Notre Dame helmets.
So, wait, guys, did he sign the gloves?
Oh, he did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All these people bought, like, that's embarrassing.
I could see him saying no.
I think there was too much
pressure.
He's
not Lou Ferrigno.
Yeah, Lou Ferrigno doesn't sign anything.
$10.
I'll find anything for $50.
Yeah.
Can we also get a picture, Lou? For another 15. But we just had you in here for 45 minutes struggling to hear you promote your stupid event at Donald E. Stevens Convention Center this weekend. The least you could do is take a picture with
him. 25 all day for everything. Can you sign two things? Extra 10. No, 40, 45, 3, easier. No change.
I remember trying to get him on our show, and he was too busy. He told me to go away because he was on camera, and it was some guy with a flip phone asking him to speak.
Yeah.
I was like, sorry, I didn't realize that was your camera.
You ever
time,
notice
man.
Celebrities that charge for everything never have changed? Like, Gilbert Gottfried always charges everyone for DVDs, and he never has change. And they're always in amount, like $17, $21. Like, no one would ever have that amount. Like, just make it $10, $20. No. That'll be $27.
And 50 cents.
Oh, I got no change, sorry. Well, okay, fine, I'll give you less. Oh, no. Just give me 30.
I didn't know Gilbert Gottfried charged for everything.
Oh, yeah, he charged for DVDs.
Really?
Who would want one anyway?
Well, I mean, I get if he's selling them at his show.
No, at the radio station.
No way.
He'll charge the people interviewing him if they want one.
That's disappointing, because I like
him. He'll ask you, do you want a DVD? Sure. It'll be $20.
No.
Yes! I've seen him do it 10 times.
What's even more disappointing is that the minute the microphone goes off and you hear his real voice and it's not that, you're like, man, that's strike two, man. Yeah. You don't even sound like that.
Yeah. It's like Ron Jeremy. That's another horrible radio guest. He comes in. That's the porn star. He comes in, steals everything and leaves. Like anything free, he'll take. We had free wine at the radio station. It comes in boxes, like 8 bottles per box. He took like 12 boxes. Of wine.
Yeah.
You guys don't mind if I take these, do you?
Yeah.
And he took razors. They had free...
Now that you touched them, we don't even want them back. You know, I told you... Or go ahead. Razors?
We had free shit Quattro razors. He took like 5 boxes. Each one had like 20... He took 100 razors.
Yeah. To be fair, they did send us way too many razors. I think they're still there. And it's like it's the third radio station since ours. They still have them.
And he's known as the hairy porn star, so I don't know why he would need all those razors.
When I picked him up from the airport, right? I had to pick him up one time when he came into town.
I don't remember what happened. Did he ask you for money or something?
I had to get out of the car and help him with his luggage, which was a handful of plastic grocery bags.
That's right.
That's his luggage. I had to open my car door and let me give you a hand with that. Like at the airport where people pick up passengers, and we were just shoveling plastic bags in my back seat.
Just think back. Okay, how old were you back then? Like 20 years old, 19, something like that?
Yeah, maybe. Probably 21, something like that.
You at 32 years old, could you imagine, number one, even wanting to interview Ron Jeremy, number two, picking him up at the airport, number three, asking if he needs help with his luggage?
Mm-hmm.
Like, at this point in my life, I would rather not have Ron Jeremy involved with anything.
Well, at this point in your life, if he even got in your car, you would make sure to get it detailed and make sure that you use every hand sanitizer you have. When you're that age, you're like, all right, I'm thinking of Ron Jeremy.
You're right. Here's the thing about most celebrities. At this point, I would rather not do anything with them. Like, it's like, hey, do you want to pick up Christopher Knight from the Brady Bunch? No.
Like, why?
Yeah.
Why would I want to do that? Right. Hey, Barry Williams is at the airport. Come pick him up and bring him back. No.
Yeah.
Why would I?
Not at all.
No, I don't want to do anything.
Yeah.
Would you mind stopping and bring him through Chick-fil-A? He loves Chick-fil-A. No.
It's true. I mean, the first few times
I gave
Dr. Drew a ride to the studio to do Loveline, I would go pick him up at the Four Seasons.
Yeah.
And this was when I, you know, was up and coming, and it was the highlight. I was so excited to
do
that.
You would like tell me, hey, I'm
I'd get
Drew
there
right
real
now.
Early.
Yeah.
You know, and it was exciting that, you know, every time I would see Drew, we would resume the conversation from last time. Like, that was
Randy, right?
Yeah.
Randy, no, yeah. Ryan. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But those little things right now, I mean,
you still
if they
see?
Said, hey, Dr. Drew's out there by the coffee machine, I would say, I'm writing the memo. Just tell him I said hey.
You're right. There was a time that I would have drove to the airport to pick up Coco Beware.
Yeah, right.
Oh, and make sure you bring a cage for Frankie the bird. But I don't have no problem. I'll pay for it out of my pocket.
I don't have a cage, Coco. Well, if you want to pick me up, you'll find a cage.
Yeah.
All right, sir. I'll find a cage.
Don't worry. I'll buy one. The stuff you would do in radio or whatever when you were younger, it's completely different now.
And I think I think it applies in every career. If anyone thinks back to when you started doing what you were doing, the things you were willing to do, you would not do now.
No. You're right.
At all.
Didn't you drive like 3 hours to get a guitar to get autographed or something? Like, you had to drive to like some far suburb to pick up a guitar because like Pantera or some band was in studio that I need 10 guitars and this guitar center 3 hours away is going to give us, 10 guitars for $50 each. Mm-hmm. So Ryan, just go take that ride out there and bring back the guitars. No problem, sir.
I don't remember where specifically it was, but I do remember, getting a text that said, all right, we're all set. Oh, yeah, good. Where am I going? Just over here to the guitar center right here.
On Halsted? Yeah, no.
0.08 miles away. Oh, no. Gray's Lake.
I know when you got shot with a paintball gun. And I remember saying to myself, oh, that's horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of things there's a lot of things that we would never do at this point. But most of them are regarding celebrities. I wouldn't go to, like, the White Sox convention. I don't need to meet, you don't want to meet Paul Konerko?
Not really.
I mean, honestly, and I'm a big fan. Like, if you told me to go to the Bulls convention to meet Taj Gibson, if Taj Gibson was at Best Buy by my house, I would keep driving.
Yeah, I mean, you could respect somebody's work, but want nothing to do with them on a personal
level.
You're
right. And to compare that to when we were younger, Sam and I waited in line at one point in our lives to get Chris Zorich's autograph. You know what I mean? Oh, Chris Zorich is at Circuit City. We're talking about for a week, and we're like, the lines are going to be out the doors. And back then, there were four people in line. and back then, you were like, it's going to be a million people here.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, almost identical, or exactly what you're talking about. Otis Wilson was at the Strachan Van Til by my house, sitting at a table, or setting up his own table. And Laura and I were shopping, and we were staring at him, and we were like, I think we either went and looked for the sign, or saw a sign, or heard someone say Otis Wilson. And I just had a flashback to standing in line to meet Otis Wilson. I mean, all day, and I couldn't have walked by that table with any less interest.
And back then, you would have ran up to me like, I'm mama's boy, Otis, one of a kind. The ladies all love me for my body.
And
look,
he was there giving, like, samples of yogurt, and it just, I didn't even want it.
You know, the oddest and saddest signing I ever saw was just last month for my wedding in Vegas. I don't know how this happened, but Gale Sayers was at Mandalay Bay giving autographs. There was, like, a memorabilia store in Mandalay Bay. He was there, not one person.
Well,
he was just sitting there talking.
You know why there was
not
one person there? That's the place that has Pete Rose there all year. So they charge something like $200 or $300 an autograph.
Okay.
That's why no one's there.
My brother went to Jewel about a year ago, and he was shopping, and he went to the barbecue section, and he just saw Evander Holyfield sitting there selling barbecue sauce all by himself. And my brother's like, Evander? He's like, want to try my barbecue sauce?
Yeah.
And he's like,
20 for an autograph.
Sure, yeah. Well, he's like, $5.
Yeah. Hmm. He didn't even make him pay for the autograph right
now. No. He's like, you want a picture? Sure.
I wonder, I'm listening to us this conversation, and I wonder this all the time. Do we sound, I don't know if we're jaded or if it's just a product of getting old. I do you know what
both,
I'm saying?
A little both, because you're right. Like, at some point, I used to get free concert tickets to every concert, and to this day, it's very hard for me to pay. Even my favorite bands, if they're in town, it's very hard for me to pay for a concert.
Yeah. I can't pay for a sporting event for the rest of my life.
Yeah, it's been ruined. You're right. But
I'm
the
thinking...
fact that I don't want to hang out with, like, you know, Mallory from Family Ties at this point, I don't think that's anything to do with anything I've done in radio. It's just I don't want to be around her. Where at one point, Mallory's going to be where? Cool.
Mallory. Is Meg going to be there?
Yeah, you want me to pick her up? Yeah. Is Tina Yothers going to be there, too? I could go to Midway and O'Hare if they're in different airports. No problem.
Skippy's going to be there.
Yeah, that's a good thought, Ryan. I don't know. Maybe it's more jaded than not.
Well, Sam, you haven't been in radio your whole life. How do you feel about that? If
I'm the wrong person to ask, because I never cared about meeting celebrities even as a kid. I just didn't care. Okay. I had anxiety about it, so I didn't want to do it.
I think you're right, though. As an age thing, when we grow up, we just kind of realize that they're all just people. Like when we were kids, they were like mythical features. You're like, man, I really want to meet
I will
Taj
say this.
Gibson.
You could go to White Sox Fest and there's a line of 10,000 people to meet Juan Uribe. I mean, so, you know, maybe we are jaded because you couldn't pay me to get in that line to meet Juan Uribe.
I mean, even if a good player, like if Julius Peppers was at the Best Buy by my house and I knew I could walk right in and get an autograph and a picture, I would keep driving right to the Arby's right next door.
I mean, as an adult, you ask yourself, like, okay, it's Julius Peppers. I like the Bears. I like him. But what is that really going to do for me to take an hour, have an awkward situation where I'm looking at him, he's looking back at me,
and that's
he signs a piece of paper. What does that do for me,
Sam,
in the end?
That is what it is, because after X amount of experiences that have completely been underwhelming, I'm tired of being disappointed by like getting my hopes up for this great thing to happen, and Billy Joe Armstrong just says, oh yeah, hey. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's
like, I don't want to ruin things anymore. I've wasted many, many, many hours getting excited about meeting somebody only to be crushed.
Back when you guys were working in rock radio, I a couple of times when I was a kid, I got shunned by my favorite athlete. So whenever Abe would have an opportunity for me to meet one of my favorite rock stars, I'd be like, no, I'm good. I don't even want to ruin the fantasy. I don't want to take a chance and then have him be a jerk to me. And then I won't be able to listen to his records anymore.
Who were you shunned by?
I was shunned by
Weird Al.
Actually, by Thurman Thomas.
Oh, that was the worst. Let's tell that story, Sam. Sam grew up loving Thurman Thomas. And the Bears played the Bills one day, and I forgot what tunnel it was. But every time we'd go to a Bears game back then, we would wait outside the tunnel. Bruce Smith came out, Bryce Paup, who was great at the time, Andre Reed, all of them signed our autographs, everything. The one guy that we loved was Thurman Thomas. He came out, stared Sam down, like shook his head like, you piece of garbage, and then walked to the bus. And this was Thurman, because the Bears destroyed the Bills that game, I remember. But Thurman walked out. He stared us down. Like,
yeah, I don't think it was just me. I think it was
he had the most
the
ignorant
us,
look
yeah.
on
but
his face.
But as a kid, that is crushing.
It was.
Oh, and
that
this
is
was
terrible.
You have to remember, Bass, this is back when the Bills were in four Super Bowls in a row. Thurman was Sam's idol. Yeah. Sam had a Thurman Thomas jersey, like a Bills coat. He'd always have all Bills everything. And then Thurman walks out and gives him the stare down and walks to the bus. Like, and he nods him off, like whatever, loser, and then walks onto the bus.
It's very hard to even find right now any athlete that's actually nice. Anybody who I've ever heard who meets any kind of athlete always has a negative story about that athlete.
You haven't met Chris Zorich, have you?
Actually, I used to work with him, and he was nice.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, that's the one nice athlete, Chris Zorich. And everyone wants to meet him these days.
Do you remember that you were talking about Abe, that time we were at Circuit City to meet him? It was so sad that there was, what, five or six people there. He was playing Madden games with the kids, full four-quarter Madden games.
Not like normal.
That's the lack of demand there was for Chris Zorich autographs. Each kid got 45 minutes of Madden.
And when he would play,
best
there was
two out of three.
No, but there was only one kid always waiting to play next. Like, you would think something like that, there'd be a long... No, one kid was always waiting for next. I got next, and there was no one else there. We do have to take a break, though, guys. We come back. The Facebook movies. We'll talk about that. 312-235 2525, it's the Abe Cannon Show, WGN FM. Go! This is a band I miss. Liam Gallagher would always, he'd always kick stuff off stage when he'd sing this song, put his arms behind his back. And then as soon as like there was a break where he wasn't singing, he would just start kicking everything.
I went to see Oasis at the Chicago Theater maybe in 98, 99. Liam Gallagher did like three songs, and then he walked up the stage. Noel finished the show, and Liam Gallagher was sitting up in the balcony watching.
It was eating like, popcorn, right?
It was crazy.
But he would kick like he would put beers next to like his mic and then kick them into the crowd.
See, that's true rock star maneuvers. That's what we're lacking today.
Yeah. You're right. We are missing real rock stars. It's all these like fake rock stars.
People would be outraged and sue him if
you're right.
He did that today.
I got kicked in the face with a beer bottle at the Oasis show. Wah.
And then they'd put something on Facebook to petition everyone else who was there to also join the civil suit against... Yeah.
Okay, so check this out. So I was at the Oasis concert, and I got kicked in the face with a beer cup, and I think everybody should sign this petition and get Oasis taken off everything. And no, all arenas should ban them moving forward. And then they'd get like a million signatures, and Oasis couldn't play anymore.
They would get banned.
Mm-hmm. Taken off everything.
So you're on Facebook, right? Besides
signing the
petition.
Yeah, signing the petition.
You'll notice that a lot of people are posting these videos on Facebook of like their history on Facebook. And I've noticed a lot of girls I know have all these random guys.
And so what for guys like me not on Facebook, this is something Facebook is sending you as a 10th anniversary.
Well, Bass, you actually did one, right?
I shared mine, yes. They've made a video for everybody's profile where you can check it out, and it's really just a collage of pictures that you already have up there. Pictures and any status update that you've done that had a lot of likes or a lot of people comment on it.
Yeah.
And they put it to music, and it's just one giant collage.
What's the song?
It's like a cheesy instrumental song.
They're called Facebook Look Back, and they take, you know, like it's because they're looking back on their 10 years. They look back on your time on Facebook.
So if you've been on for 10 years,
give you a retrospective.
It's pictures of you and every boyfriend you've ever had or every girlfriend. And how does your current boyfriend or girlfriend feel when she's looking at your history and it's you like, you know, you're laying on a bed with some girl with no shirt on, making out with her. Then the next one's another girl on the beat. You know what I mean? It's just.
And the status update is, my God, I went through more guys last night than I can remember.
And they're 62 seconds long, set to, and I think the problem, cause it started, at least the one, I haven't watched one of, I haven't seen one of them. I'll send you mine.
I watched one, and
Please don't.
It's a friend of mine who's been married for 10 years. He has a wife and kids. Mm-hmm. His was very beautiful because it was really nice. It was like a history of their marriage, and then it's like, oh, our first kid, like it was perfect, right? But then I saw the one with the single girl I know, and it was disgusting. So the only people who should be sharing these videos are stable people.
Right.
People who have had stable... Like, Sam could probably get away with sharing his if he had one.
Yeah, because you know that it's not going to contain...
Yeah.
It's not going to... It won't go veer too far from where he's at.
It's going to be nice.
Although there's something to be said about laughing at someone's video when you can see him being a complete slut, and then the last guy she's with, she's sitting there with a kid and a frown face.
Yeah, exactly. That is funny because all girls that are, you know, easygoing girls when they're younger, once they do have the kid and you know, get married, it is funny looking back on their history. Especially, I know a lot of girls who are with guys now that they just met, and they have no idea about their past. What a way to find out about your girlfriend's past.
Hey, honey, want to see my look back video?
Yeah, sure. Oh, my God! Who's the guy with the tattoo on his face?
I mean...
Wow, you were skinny back then.
Is that Scottie Pippen and Eddie Curry? What are they doing?
Actually, that's where Scottie Pippen ends and Eddie Curry begins.
Yeah.
I saw a hand, like when these first went up, I clicked it just to see what it was, and I scrolled down to the comments that people were putting on the story about the Facebook.
On the one you saw?
I didn't watch the video. I'm saying I clicked a link that said Facebook celebrating 10 years with
these
videos.
Oh, you clicked the link on the story about these.
On a news story about the Facebook things. And these people that had read the story started commenting on what their video included. And I think maybe 3 out of 50 of them were positive. Like, oh, that was great. Mine was perfect. But I copied and pasted a few of the comments. Yeah, mine had a pic of this girl I almost cheated on my wife with. don't think I'll be sharing this video. One of the posts selected, this is a different one. One of the posts selected for most liked was about my electric bill being only $124. Touching. Mine is pretty standard stuff from family events and such, but it does end with a shot of a newspaper headline that reads Cuomo spanks wiener. Set to inspirational music. Great. Another one. Wow, I must have been an idiot. My social security number and bank routing number flashed quickly near the end scene.
Jesus.
That's hilarious.
Another one. I couldn't even watch this whole thing. Not because I hated it, but after 15 seconds, I couldn't risk having my girl walked in. Talk about old wounds. And the last one, my main impression is that I'm boring as hell and I take really crappy pictures of stupid stuff. So congratulations, Facebook.
See, but no, you make the decision, right, Bass? Because we haven't done it. So I think if you make the decision to share that video, then you can't complain.
And guys, as of today or tomorrow, they are implementing an edit feature.
They said it was actually supposed to be ready for the start of it, but they couldn't get that edit button in. All the engineers at Facebook couldn't figure out how to get the edit button in the video.
Now, to my knowledge, these are all pictures and things that are already on your Facebook.
Right.
So they're not like digging up pictures and scouring the internet for pictures that you deleted. So it's not very hard for someone to look through your profile, which people do, employers do.
Yeah, but really hits it home. When you take, right. Like, if a guy's looking, you know how hard it is to look through years of stuff? When a guy that's your current, going out with a girl, and he just gets to scroll and see, you know, this guy with the face tattoo, the guy with the fedora on, the guy with no shirt on, two guys with no shirt. It's like, he gets like a recap of everything
people, if I'm interested in dating a girl and I really want to see exactly what she's about, I'll spend a half an hour looking at pictures and posts.
Well, you're a
and
stalker.
Trying to see what, but most people who do, if you're going to get involved with somebody and you want to be like, is this girl a slut or not? I'll take a look.
Get Jill in here. Let's ask her.
It's
if you
probably
put
just
Facebook.
They probably just take your most liked and most viewed pictures over the course of the time you've been on Facebook.
Well,
right?
Yeah,
that's all it is.
And I tell Jill what to put on her Facebook.
And basically, I do think there's something to be said about, you know, scrolling through each individual picture with no music. You're just sitting there looking at them, and then seeing it set to this
beautiful,
inspirational, touching music, and it's, you know, pictures of utility bills and your social security number. I mean, there is something that makes it a little more impactful.
Everyone gets the same song?
I don't know.
So, like, Aaron Hernandez, his is all pictures of him in the mirror with a gun.
Someone
it's inspirational music for
someone
him,
Someone did one for Rob Ford, which I need to watch.
By the way, the Rob Ford YouTube show is starting. He has a new YouTube show with his brother, the Toronto mayor. So I actually got an email from his press guy.
Is he really the mayor still? Is that what his title
entitled,
is now?
Entitled, okay. That's it. But he doesn't do anything else.
No. No, I mean.
That's perfect for him.
I actually might have a reply email here. I emailed, they emailed me from the Rob Ford office with a media alert that he has a new YouTube show.
Was it from him?
Well, I don't know.
Hey, Eve.
Yeah, wanna come on and promote my new YouTube show, eh?
I think maybe in the hoopla of the look back videos, I found another thing about Facebook today that I don't think will end well. Has anyone heard about Agree It?
No.
It is a new free app, and this is their description, which aims to encourage borrowing between friends and family on Facebook.
Wow.
Pushed as an alternative to payday loans.
Ugh.
Agree It enables Facebook friends to request loans from each other for personal or business use at mutually agreeable rates. The borrower gets a cheaper loan to home while the lender gets better returns, investing in people they know and trust. No legal obligation to repay.
Wow.
How many scams are going to start coming now? Like, you know how you get the emails? They're going to hack into your Facebook, send a request from Abe to Sam on his Facebook and say, hey, Abe wants $50. And then you're like, oh, that's my brother Abe. I'll give it to you.
This is a great investment. They're not going to ask for $50. They're going to be like,
I need
a loan for $2,500.
Don't you think the whole thing with Facebook and this not having the editing tool, weren't they too thirsty releasing this? Right, it's kind of like Obamacare. It wasn't completely ready.
I think it's a nice idea.
No, I know, but I'm saying it wasn't complete because the editing tool was not done yet. But they put it out right away. So we got to get it out. You never, anything good takes time. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to force things out. You want to get it ready. Like when you, you know.
When it's out, you don't want to be fixing it.
Here's two examples. The WWE just did a new network, right? They've been working on it for 4 years, and now their stock is at an all-time high. They spent 4 years putting it together. And then other places are putting out their apps and networks, and they're not as good because they're just forcing them out. Like, that's why I brought up Obamacare. If Obamacare came out the way it is now, no one would really be complaining. But when it first came out, the website was all messed up, and you never have a chance to get that back. That first impression.
Right.
Anytime now you bring up Obamacare, if I can log on, maybe I'll check it out. Like, no matter what, no matter what you ever say. So no matter what now, Facebook has these videos. This could be something really cool they could use for the future.
It's a dud.
No matter what. Oh, I don't want to see pictures of my ex-gal. Mm-hmm. That's all they're going to say no matter what. Because they,
yeah, but there's something to be said. I mean, this is also a free service. It's I know Facebook. If you don't like it, then delete your account.
But
who
their
cares?
Thirstiness has cost them what could have been a huge thing for them. This could have been awesome.
It's still gonna be. They're gonna have an edit tool, and people are gonna figure it out, and then it'll be under the
no.
Can I ask, guys?
They're not gonna go back.
Where are they gonna go?
I'm serious. Who is watching someone else's look back video? That to me, I get following someone. It's different to me. It's different
than
seeing a thing here or there, a photo, whatever, a status update. One, it's not like this. You don't have to say, I'm going to give 1 minute and 2 seconds to watching this girl's video that I don't know. I went to high school with her.
You're totally right. I could care less about anybody else.
I don't want to watch anyone.
I think like Abe said, though, the only person would be that guy who just started dating this girl who has this shoddy past.
This
is his one chance to tap into it. He's the one guy who's going to be like, man, I've been waiting for this for a very long time.
Well, this is what people don't understand. Girls post pictures on Facebook or guys post pictures only for certain people. The only people looking at them are their boyfriend, girlfriend, people interested. Normal people really don't care. So it's almost like you said, Sam, she's posting a video for her current boyfriend to see her past, like, you know, all the guys and all the disgusting stuff she used to do.
Well, then now's a really good time to go through all your photos and start deleting.
Well, just don't post the video.
That's true.
I mean, what about people who post a lot of memes? You know,
What if those are the things
that get a lot of comments and likes? And then they're like, here's your life in 10 years. And it's just like, it's these wacky things, you know, about Richard Sherman. And like, I mean, nothing to do with the guy.
He
missed his wedding photo.
The memes probably get way more comments than the photo of you and your cousin John.
Totally.
Right?
The one little kid in the third world country going, now I get the Denver Broncos championship t-shirt tomorrow.
Yeah, that one. Yep.
That's your whole thing. It's just that kid dancing
with little different
quotes.
How about this weather? You're telling me this weather's sticking around for 2 more weeks? Congratulations, sir. That's your life.
I guarantee there's a Facebook video out there with that little black kid in Africa doing that dance with different quotes.
Yep.
And it's all different teams. No matter what sport it is, like with the Blackhawks won the cup. I don't even remember who they beat for the Stanley Cup last year.
Boston.
Oh, yeah. So it's like, oh, I can't wait to get my Bruins t-shirt.
Yeah.
And then it, you know. San Antonio Spurs.
Every sport.
Yeah. Loser for 10 years.
Of the final game of every sport. That's all.
This is your life, Dan Levy.
Yeah.
75 likes.
Yeah. Missed the birth of a kid, you know.
And then it's the one picture of my wedding and just one like.
Yeah
exactly.
That you, dog? Congrats.
Facebook released a statement. We will be launching an edit feature soon that will allow people to change moments in their movies or update the ones they shared. I don't have exact timing at the moment, but this will enable people to remove a post from the movie that was pre-selected and change it to a different one. That seems pretty important.
I don't have the moment.
Doesn't it?
Right.
And again, you don't put a statement out until you have the time or until you have that statement is the version of the video. Like they can't. That guy rushed that statement out. He should have said,
oh, yeah,
it will be up tonight by midnight.
Yeah. Oh, we don't have time.
I can't give you a time or date. Yeah. Well, then don't give me the statement.
But that's the best response to get to wash it all away. It'll happen soon. We're working on it. Because the last thing you want to hear is them saying, we're not going to give you an edit tool. You, I mean, to make people happy, you want to hear that it's being fixed at some point.
And just like the guy who has a video of only that little black kid in Africa dancing and saying, I can't wait to get my Bruins shirts. There's going to be another guy who gets to re-celebrate all the deaths of all his loved ones. Because when someone says, oh, I'm going to miss my sister Lupe, and there's 165 likes, guess what? That's going to be in your video. And then when Uncle George dies, that has 140 likes. That's going to be in there, too. It's going to be all the deaths of all your family members. You get to recap all the deaths. Oh, what a life. And this is your 10-year anniversary. Mm-hmm. Enjoy this. Remember your cousin Bert? Yeah, he's dead. Remember when your best friend died? It has 149 likes.
Yeah, well, here was you guys fishing.
Yeah, here's
Wouldn't
that
you
picture.
Like to go fishing with him again? You can't.
Here's the post of you saying, I can't stop crying. I miss Josh.
It's been 1 year since Josh was dead.
Yeah.
Has died.
I still love him.
Congratulations on your 10 years.
300 likes.
And then the final one is like one picture of you eating cotton candy on a Ferris wheel.
By yourself.
Yeah, ends happy. The one good thing, though, I did read to come out of this, there was a dad who, his son passed away. He was killed in a car accident, and he wanted... His profile was private, and he wanted access to it. He couldn't. He couldn't get into the profile. They either took it down or he couldn't access it. And he finally, today, Facebook agreed to unlock the profile and make the video for the family.
And that was cool.
Yeah. So that's good. Unless the kid, you know, was like, it'll him doing Jaeger shots. And we haven't seen the video yet.
Wait till he sees the video. Yeah. him saying, I just hate my dad.
Yeah. That's why his profile's been private.
If I ever kill myself, it's because of my dad.
What happens when you die when you have a social media account? What does it just continue to live on?
No,
I know a couple of people who still have their accounts up who have been dead for at least over a year.
No, but there's a way to call, like, you know, they will take it down if the family, but I think you just have to prove, there's a lot of proving you have to do to get that done. And you could get pages and stuff. People don't know that. Like, if Sam Cannon, right, on Twitter, what's yours, like, Sam_Cannon?
Yes.
If you called Facebook and sent them, Twitter, and you said, hey, I'm Sam Cannon, the radio personality, you could probably get at Sam Cannon. Ryan, didn't you used to have, like, Ryan_Mano?
Mm-hmm.
And then you got Ryan Mano somehow.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get it?
Because it was available.
Oh, it was just available.
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. Well,
that's the secret.
How often were you checking for it? Or was it available the whole time?
No, it was available the whole time. I just liked the underscore at first, and then I thought, wow, that's unnecessary.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, one of your someone very popular is turning 50. Someone who I had a lot of encounters with when I was younger. We'll talk about that next. 312-235-2525. Dave Cannon Show. It's WGN-FM. Dave Cannon Show, WGN-FM, 312-235-2525. If you want to join us, go to abecannon.com. If you want to follow us on Facebook, as we were all talking about, if you want to see Bass's video, his 10-year anniversary video, pictures of like, gee, look at these appetizers.
I was going to say, it's
bacon,
like all chicken
sausages. Mmm. Is your video all that, Bass?
There is a lot of food on there, yes.
Cheeseburger with bacon inside the meat? Yum! Where do I sign up? Yeah, so go to apecannon.com. And then Ryan has those Sochi pictures up there, too, if you want to check those out. So it's G.I. Joe's 50th birthday. I didn't know G.I. Joe was that old.
50 years. I would have thought it was older for some reason.
Older?
Yeah.
Hmm?
Weren't, like, kids back in the day or, like, in the 60s and 70s, like, bragging about the Kung Fu Grip?
Well, yeah, that's when it started, in 64.
That's,
oh, that's when it started.
Well, that's 50 years ago, Bass.
I thought it was still like an old, like, I thought it was like one of the original toys.
Yeah, I would have put it, if I had a guess, if somebody asked me, I would have said like maybe World War II era, 1940s. It does seem like, what did boys play with before G.I.
Joe? Well, it was the first action figure, which I didn't know that was the truth. I figured there had to have been an action figure before that.
I mean, there could have been. I mean, I know that it is regarded as the it's called the world's first action figure.
But you know, there's a figure out there that takes credit. Like, we were before G.I. Joe. No one knew about Action Andy.
Right. But still, if you're in that, I mean, even if there were five action figures before G.I. Joe, that's not many. I mean, so in 1962 and 3, let's say, there were no action figures in the world.
Yeah. Which is weird.
Yeah.
Like, what did boys play with besides Tinker Toys and rocks?
Did they have that paddle with the ball on it?
Yeah. Boys had nothing.
Yeah.
Girls had sports. Well, yeah, they had sports, but girls had dolls. I mean, I see lots of dolls back then.
They had chalk.
Yeah, girls did love chalk.
Yeah. Let's play hopscotch.
Wait, that's interesting, Bass. You never see little girls drawing on sidewalks anymore.
No. Hmm.
Is it because we're too uptight now?
I think generally being outside is frowned upon.
Overall.
No one's in good enough shape to bend down and draw.
I'm sure there's an app now where it's actually a sidewalk where you draw on the sidewalk on your phone.
No, you don't need to go out to do that. I mean, I don't know. Letting your daughters go run around the neighborhood to draw on the sidewalk with chalk isn't a good idea. It's just not anymore. Any number of things could go wrong, and they are going wrong.
That's a shame, because if you're a parent, I would much rather give my kid the 10-cent piece of chalk than the $300 iPad.
But isn't that the answer right there, Bass? Because there's better options than writing on the ground with chalk.
Of course. back then, of course.
When your only option back then was to draw on the ground with pink chalk, now you have an iPad. honey, you don't want to go outside and draw circles on the sidewalk?
No, drawing circles right here.
Yeah, on this iPad. This $500 iPad. Oh, okay. We don't want a jump rope.
I need the new one.
I need the Air.
Yeah, chalk doesn't require a yearly upgrade either.
This one sucks. I want the iPad Air.
Did you know G.I. Joe was considered the hot item when it came out?
Well, of course it was. Yeah. You're a little boy.
If the alternative is chalk and rocks.
I'm saying it was the big Christmas item, like the Furby of its day.
Yeah.
Teddy Ruxpin. You know, I mean, it was the thing that people were clamoring for.
Remember Teddy Ruxpin? How everybody was like, oh my God, it talks.
I had one.
Did you really?
Yep. So and the eyes got poked out within 5 minutes.
So did mine by my brother.
And me too. My brother Sam. He was jealous because I got one and he didn't get anything. He got like a worm or a glow worm or something.
You got Teddy Ruxpin. I got a Cabbage Patch Kid. What did my mom think of me?
I had a Cabbage Patch Kid too.
Oh, did you?
Remember their names were, mine's name was Michael, which was weird, and yours name was Herbie.
Herbie?
Yeah. You don't remember that?
Mine's name was Patrick.
Yeah, I do.
Why was mine named Michael?
Why did we have those? Yeah. God.
I never got a Cabbage
Patch Kid. Babies? why were those popular with boys?
And you named him, right? You named him Patrick.
Yes.
And mine, I was too old to have that probably.
Yeah, dude. Why did we have those? They smelled good, though. Why did we name them? Their cheeks and stuff, their face smelled good.
You probably
I never had a
Cabbage Patch Kid. You didn't get anything, did you?
No.
Bass looks like a Cabbage Patch Kid.
I got the piece of chalk.
Yeah, you got a piece of cabbage.
Hey, Bass, eat this cabbage and call it a day.
I got a kid.
Ryan, do you still have Patrick?
No, I don't. But
what did he wear? I remember mine was in a jumpsuit and Sam's had shorts and a t-shirt. Mine was in like one of those baby. Mine was a baby.
Yeah.
It was in a red striped like onesie.
Right. I don't know.
And I was walking around with that thing.
Yeah.
Like, this is Michael.
Yeah. Carrying it like a baby. Yeah. I
had a stroller.
I feel like I blocked that out. I carried around a baby.
I feel like you guys are the only three boys that have ever had one.
Right. No.
You're the first ones I've ever heard that
said
that. You want to
put Patrick down for his nap?
Yeah.
Oh, Mom.
No.
Giving Patrick his milk.
Yeah, Mom, I'm giving Patrick a bottle.
I'll be to dinner in a while, okay? Patrick's thirsty.
You know your dad, Gary, was like, God, my son. Oh. Can you imagine? Because you know your mom.
What do you mean he's asking for Barbie?
Yeah, right. There's no excuse. Our father was gone.
Yeah, yeah. Our parents got divorced when we were two. Right. So
my dad.
We had an excuse.
Who is Patrick?
Yeah. Why is Ryan walking around with the dog? Oh, all the boys are doing it now, Gare.
Yeah.
What?
Why?
It's hot.
I don't know. Then Ryan has like a sleeping hat on Patrick.
I come in the room wearing the same thing Patrick's wearing.
Ryan's burping Patrick.
He's on one of those carry-alls on your chest.
Yeah. What's for dinner?
You know when your dad walked into your bedroom and Patrick was sleeping on your chest? He's like, oh my God, what am I doing?
The look on your dad's face when your mom brought out your dinner and then a little jar of Gerber for Patrick.
She's just touching it to his mouth, getting it all over his face.
Then she sneaks bites of it to get rid of it.
I think Kevin had my buddy.
See, my buddy was cool.
Yeah.
I always wanted a
my buddy. Was,
what was the My Buddy?
Song? That was good.
My buddy. And you remember
the remember the song, but I don't remember what it is.
Then, do you remember the girls, of course, had
Kid sister
and me.
Wherever she goes, she puts on a show.
Yep.
Kid sister and me.
That's right. Wherever she goes, she puts on a show. Kid sister. But my buddy was, he used to wear, overalls, like a Freddy Krueger shirt.
Yeah.
Remember?
And when those items were hot that Christmas or whenever they were hot, that was back before people were killing each other for them. Right?
Oh, you're right.
So, no, I don't think people stampeded each other, pepper spray for G.I. Joe.
And they were really expensive.
Well, they first sold for $4, which back then.
Talking about G.I. Joe now?
Yeah.
Okay.
So back then, I mean, a G.I. Joe was $4, which I guess if. It was the first one.
But it was
so
like a Barbie doll back then, right?
It was big. Yeah, it was a tall guy.
With inflation, that's probably 50, 60 bucks right now.
Oh, yeah. It was pricey.
Probably more than that, even.
Maybe.
You know what's weird, Ryan, going back to Patrick?
Mm-hmm.
So you have a younger brother, Kevin, who's, what, 2 years, 3 years younger? 2 years?
Two.
So you decided that you wanted the baby Cabbage Patch doll, and he got the My Buddy. Like,
He also might have had a Cabbage Patch doll.
But he obviously wasn't walking around with him like you were.
He neglected his way more. I mean, I don't think he formed
a
bond.
Did you adopt him?
I don't think they bonded like we did.
Did you adopt him? I'm taking the kid.
Yeah, we did adopt him.
I'm taking the kid.
They came with adoption papers. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Cabbage Patch Kids came with adoption papers, I swear to God.
Yeah.
And it said Father Abe Cannon.
And DCFS came every 6 months to just do a wellness check, make sure he was, well adjusted and. Things were going well. He was getting good marks in school.
Do you remember by the end how dirty the Cabbage Patch doll was? It was just covered
in
dirt.
And stuff black streaks you couldn't get off. That were like,
you could scrub it, you could put it in the washer, nothing would happen.
Yeah.
It was just stuck.
Plus it stunk all that sour milk and Gerber.
Yeah. All the old Gerber on his face.
it's like caked on his face.
But do you remember though that do you remember the way that they smelled originally? They smelled different. They were scented.
Yeah.
Like baby powder.
They smelled like babies, yeah. Gosh.
Those were creepy.
They were really,
weird.
Just really giving boys a young, real life.
Why did I
baby.
Name mine Mike? Why did Ryan and I name, Herbie's a better name than Sam gave his.
Yeah. I'm disturbed by Michael and Patrick.
Michael and Patrick?
It's weird.
I think it's the name you really wanted when you were that age.
And you know what's also interesting? You know how gay guys always go by the full name? Like, you'll never meet a gay guy named Jeff. It's always, hi, I'm Jeffrey. Like, we named our dolls full names.
Full names.
Patrick.
Hmm. Yeah.
So, makes a lot of sense to me. Yeah.
like, do you ever hear a gay guy say, hi, I'm John? No, it's always, hi, I'm Jonathan.
Base, we figured it out, buddy.
Yeah, I was going to say, mystery solved.
Did you guys have G.I. Joe? Sam and I used to have all the G.I. Remember when they were like $1.40 each? Those little small G.I. Joes? But we had a wrestling federation with them. Like, our G.I. Joes would wrestle.
Yeah, I had that, too. I had the huge wrestling ring, and I would have every action figure I could get.
You're right.
And they'd all wrestle.
You know what it was? The WWF wrestling figures weren't very flexible. So you had the ring, but you couldn't wrestle with
you couldn't
the
do
figure,
like a tombstone.
So the G.I. Joes were great.
Yeah, they were, quote-unquote, rubber wrestlers, but had, like, the pliability of PVC pipe.
And they were already positioned, so, like, Jesse the Body had the muscle of it. You couldn't really do much with it but a clothesline.
Right, yeah. And I never had those are the only action figures I ever had were those wrestling the wrestling figures. I never had.
Oh, we
G.I.
had
Joe.
All the He-Man figures. We had Thundercats.
Did you have G.I. Joe?
Silver
were you ever
Hawks.
Into G.I. Joe?
Oh yeah, we had the little small ones. And we used to remember that kid we knew.
We must have had hundreds of G.I. Joes.
Remember that kid Jacob who would bury his in his yard, and we would be like, "Can we just go dig those up?"
Well, when they die, they need a proper burial.
Sam, the thing you just said is the exact reason I never got into G.I. Joe. That there were hundreds.
There were too many.
I don't even I can't even begin to guess how many G.I. Joe characters.
See, I think
there
when it started, there was a G.I. Joe.
There was
that
a
was
character
the guy.
Named G.I. Joe.
It became a brand.
And so that was just the faction.
Right.
I had the Karate Kid action figures. When you were kids, it came out with Karate Kid, and there was a kick that Daniel LaRusso would do, but they always broke. So every time you would kick the leg would fly about 20 feet in the air.
Well, I remember having the
and I remember being so mad.
I remember having the Chuck Norris figures. Sam had Chuck Norris. I had the bad guy. Remember that, Sam? I forgot his name. He looked like he had like a he almost looked like
kind of like Cobra Commander.
Yeah, he looked like Cobra Commander.
Did the I'm curious about the G.I. Joes though. Did I liked various figures that were different. You know, like Moss Man, the He-Man figure. Do you remember that?
Oh yeah,
he was covered in moss.
Smelled
weird.
Awesome.
Like. They were. You could tell that they used a different.
Remember
mold.
Leech Man,
the G.I. Joe. They were all very unique, very animated, very unique.
But weren't they all the same figure, just in different with different things on, like
no.
different.
Well, the same
layer.
Body type.
They may
obviously.
Have been the same body type, but they had costumes.
They were completely
colors.
Different.
Some were alien.
Was there a G.I. Joe Sergeant Slaughter?
Of course. That's when.
How did he transition to both? I couldn't remember.
Well, what happened was there was a pamphlet you used to get with the G.I. Joes, and these are the ones you had to order. It was always Serpentor, the Fridge, and Sergeant Slaughter.
Oh,
the
that's
fridge?
Right, the
and,
Fridge.
And I ordered the Serpentor, and it comes with the vehicle and everything. It was awesome. Why did we never get the Sergeant Slaughter in the Fridge? Like, all the ones I always wanted. And then, in grade school, I found all Sam's old G.I. Joes, and I sold them to this kid for like $2 each. And I made a nice little profit off him.
Was Sam still playing with them then?
No, he had just barely gotten done playing with them. Hmm. But I remember this kid's like,
the money scheming started.
He's like,
early
he's like,
you.
I like to buy G.I. Joes. I'm like, oh, I think I have some.
I might
and,
have a few.
Yeah, and every day I came with like six more. Yeah. And he's like, $12 when you're like nine is awesome.
Yeah. Especially when you did nothing to earn
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he's like, here.
Yeah.
And then I remember I sold comic books. There were weird
those
kids.
Are mine too, right? You sold all my stuff. That's how you made money for 5 years was selling everything I had.
No, I think those were mine. Or we got them from someone. That we were supposed to share them or something.
I watched the G.I. Joe cartoon, but I still don't think I understood it. I think I tried watching it to go, I can't keep up. There are too many characters. There's a reason there are five Power Rangers. There's a reason there's one Barney. There's a reason there's
well, you're
a
one of those
SpongeBob.
Guys who needs the whole collection, right?
It's not even the collection. It's the store. Why are there...
There's definitely too much to keep up with.
Because it's
agree.
A war.
Too much.
Ryan, in a war, there's not going to be six guys.
Well, in Saving Private Ryan, they don't show every soldier. You tell a story of a few.
Look at Star Wars figures. They sell everyone. Like the characters that are in the movie for 10 seconds. Why? Because they can make more money.
Yeah, but when you had guys like He-Man and Voltron, they were always battling, but it was always just those key guys.
And Star Wars isn't for little kids. You're giving a little kid 86 characters. Deep Six does this. Snow Job does that. You have to have a scroll to know who's who. It was way too much. And then add in Cobra. And the only thing I remember about the show is that no one ever died. No one ever got hurt.
Except
there was never any danger.
Yeah, what kind of war was
and
that?
And I couldn't figure out. Today I was thinking about it. I couldn't figure out what it was that kept kids coming back. If there was never any sense that anyone was ever in real danger, no one ever.
Were they even fighting?
They were just missed shots.
Yeah,
I don't know who taught
I don't remember,
how
you know what? I remember
Cobra how to shoot, but they were lousy.
I remember
shooters.
A lot of meetings in on
yeah,
the show.
Yeah, and trash talk, right?
Yeah, but
like
never
Cobra
any
Commander,
fighting.
If all they would do, they'd be right next to each other. Trash talking each other and then no fighting.
Yeah. I mean, like a lot of strategy sessions. Like there'd be the first commercial break would be the good guys, then the bad guys, and then they would just throw a couple names at each other. And then you get the lesson at the end.
You know what it was? They would be in their vehicles. They'd always destroy each other's vehicles.
The vehicles would blow up,
and then the guy would roll out and then be like, "I'll get you next time." Mm-hmm. But you could blow up their vehicle with a grenade or like missiles, and they would roll out. Like you would see the
they
whole.
They always
thing.
Would roll down the.
But
hill.
Ryan was right. They always had a cooler weapon, but they would never be able to hit anybody
never.
With it.
G.I. Joe at least would be a little more effective at blowing up at the Cobra cars, but. That's, I mean, G.I. Joe weren't expert marksmen either. They were like,
they didn't kill anyone.
I mean, like the stormtroopers are, they probably taught Cobra how to shoot. The stormtroopers. Just
yeah, the
missed
stormtroopers
red
never
lasers
killed anyone
everywhere.
In Star Wars.
Just
yeah.
Misfire after misfire. Not one hit, you know, not one hit.
There was one.
They never registered one hit in three movies.
There was one semi-death in G.I. Joe. Do you remember the G.I. Joe cartoon movie when Serpentor turned Cobra Commander into a snake?
No.
That was the most.
Man, you have a very vivid.
Yeah, I don't remember much. Wow. I don't really remember much of
that. Was
G.I.
the most
Joe.
Shocking moment of my childhood when he turned Cobra Commander, or he killed. He did something to him where he like melted or turned into a snake or something like that, and I was shocked because, like you said, Ryan, you're used to 100 shots going everywhere except to the target.
Yeah, that would be messed up if like in the movie at the very end of the movie, just bullet through the head. You know, this kid who's never seen. I mean.
It's like 300 at the end.
Yeah. Yeah. Out of nowhere, G.I. Joe's a bloodbath.
Did those guys get laid in that cartoon?
There's honest.
I'm trying to remember. Were there any chicks?
Sure, there was one female.
And she had red hair, right? And big
yeah.
boobs?
Oh, yeah. God. One female? These guys at war?
That's it.
She yeah. She must have had, like, Destro for a while.
She was like I think she was, like, an engineer.
And, of course, she had gigantic boobs.
Oh, of course, yeah. White yeah. T-shirt, too.
But I bet
a white the figure I remember it was red hair with a white belly shirt and huge
right.
boobs. That was the one yeah. girl who hung out with all these.
Her name
stomachs.
Was like Sally.
Yeah,
I do think Abe the probably the original G.I.
Oh Joe. Jade wasn't Jade one of them?
That was a guy.
I think Jade was the female on the Cobra side.
I remember there's one Cobra girl because she wore that jumpsuit, that blue jumpsuit. But go ahead, Ron. What were you saying?
Oh, I mean, I bet you the original, the character G.I. Joe, you know, back when he came out in the early 60s was probably a player.
Oh, of course.
Probably more so than the characters that we grew up with in G.I. Joe. You know what I mean? I
oh,
don't,
yeah. Like he had those more
guys
options.
Those guys were more focused. They were more focused on business. They were like the bad guys in Dick Tracy almost, where it's like, your life is Your name is, you know, Flat Top because your head is huge and flat, and your life is to kill and shoot and fight and have war.
And that's
Whereas
it.
G.I. Joe, you know, I mean, he was like the poster boy. He was the man, and he just got back from the Korean War, and I'm sure Barbie met him
well,
at the
that's
airport.
The thing, not just Barbie, but all the female dolls before that were probably all into G.I. Joe. They're like, God, he's hot.
Yeah.
Know?
And then until
muscular.
He started showing signs of post-traumatic stress and started drinking and striking her.
Calling her Charlie.
Have you ever seen the pictures of the original G.I. Joe compared to how he looks now? The original one was, he looked like a twink. Like completely soft, no muscle at all.
Like Ken.
And, yeah, he looked exactly
yeah,
like
and
Ken.
And that's why Barbie left Joe for Ken. She had to settle down with a guy with he was a banker and wouldn't hit her.
Yeah, G.I. Joe kept beating her up.
Ken doesn't hit me.
No, but have you seen like the new G.I. Joes are like, they look like The Rock? Like they're ripped. I
yeah.
mean, huge muscles.
I haven't seen them. Wait, what was the movie? Didn't they just do a more recent? Who was the
I
actor?
I think Jean-Claude Van Damme was
no,
always
there was
those.
A there was a more recent one. And there's an actor that played.
I think The Rock was in it.
Ah.
Here's a tweet from
yeah, The Rock was in it.
Here's a tweet from King of All Adams. He says, Scarlet and Lady J were the chicks. Jinx was the ninja. So that's some information.
G.I. Joe Retaliation. It was done last year. Who is the actor?
In what?
It's The Rock.
The Rock's in it.
Was it?
There was another.
How about that other guy?
Dude,
what's his name? Channing Tatum was
that's
he in
the
it?
Guy
was
I'm thinking it? Of. Yeah, that's it.
For Magic Mike, of course.
Yeah.
What about him, Ryan?
No, I mean,
the
I was
other
just trying
movie
to think
you might have seen him in.
Of yeah. who? Of
you know
who,
where you saw him, Ryan? Magic Mike.
I was just thinking of who they have in that role now to see if he's jacked and handsome. That's all.
Who did he play in the movie? Because I know The Rock played, who did he play, Sam Pitfall or something like that?
I haven't seen it.
Pitbull or, there's a G.I. Joe character named like Pitts. Do you remember the character I'm saying though? Pitt
I don't.
Something?
I feel like you watched a lot more than I did.
I just remember the lesson. He's like, and now you know, and knowing is half the battle. G.I. Joe, Sergeant Slaughter was at the end of every episode.
Not the Sergeant Slaughter.
Yeah. The real
he
Sergeant Slaughter.
He would do like a little vignette at the end.
I don't
live action.
That.
He'd be there.
It's, I mean, if you guys, because you guys sound like you're way more into this than I expected you to be. There, I did read about the official G.I. Joe Collectors Club getting together this weekend to honor Joe's 50th, if you guys want to go, in Saratoga Springs. The description of their party is, collectors will mark the toy's 50th birthday this Saturday by displaying some of their G.I. Joes at the New York State Military Museum.
Any convention for anything is horrible.
This is going to be six guys, eight guys, 15 guys,
More than that.
Setting up.
Believe me.
G.I. Joe's. This isn't the official party, though.
Oh, this is like the fan club. Okay.
Setting up, they're going to have a shoebox, and they're going to set up their G.I. Joe, and then talk about the time that, you know, this guy almost shot that guy but missed.
Remember Destro almost killed Pitfall and he missed? Yeah.
What do you do at this party?
Same thing they do every day. They sit in the room alone.
And set up their G.I. Yeah. Joes.
And that'll be the least attractive thing any woman in there has ever seen in their lives.
Yeah, they're definitely going to put them in a convention room, shut the door.
You know they clean them really good.
The figures?
Yeah, the figures. Yeah, they wash the clothes.
The museum
has... They spend a lot of time in the crotch.
The museum will not give them an area that can be seen by the public.
No. Right. Well, you guys go back there in the D-Wing.
And actually, there's a bathroom in there where you guys could set up.
You don't have to come back out here to use the bathroom.
excuse me. I saw back there was a folding table in the bathroom. Yeah, that's where you're setting up.
Perfect. You got the place.
That's it.
Feel free to turn the lights off when you leave.
All eight of you, get in there.
But the big party, Hasbro is announcing the details of Joe's 50th birthday party on February 16th.
God. Oh, there's a teaser for it? They can't even tell us.
Oh, yeah,
now?
No. They're not going to. That's not the party. They tell us when the party is on the 16th. Jay-Z's going to be there.
Let's take a quick call and then we'll take a break. We have Vinny Armani from Gigolos coming up. Ryan in Michigan, what's up, man?
You guys, I missed you.
Well, we're back.
I know. Well, I can't hear you. I'm in Michigan.
You can hear us.
Yeah, you just listen. Go to WGN.FM. How, or WGN.FM or go to iHeartRadio or
WGNFM.com.
Yeah, I'll take that because things have gotten so bad. I took a knife and carved Bass's face into my chest.
That is rock bottom. That's rock bottom.
Well, Ryan, you are a man of honor. We appreciate you listening. We do have to take a break, though. Vin Armani from Gigolos joins us next to the Cannon Show. It's WGN FM. Cannon Show, WGN FM, 312-235-2525. So we decided, you know, we had to have, you know, you're going to have guests eventually. So we decided our first guest would be one of our favorite guests of all time from Gigolos, which is actually on immediately following our show on Showtime. So you listen to us until 10, and then immediately after, you put on Showtime and watch our buddy Vin Armani's show, Gigolos. Vin, welcome to the show.
Oh, my God. I am so happy to be your first guest, and I'm so glad that you guys have a new home. I heard about it, and I was like, man, that's cool.
So, Vin, I know that the main reason why you're calling in is because you need all the help you could get, because your main competition, Jay Leno, is having his final show tonight. So I know Gigolos and Jay Leno have the same audience. So you need to make this last push to get some big ratings tonight.
Hey, man, but I couldn't be in a better place to do that, right?
That's right. But are you worried? Are you worried that the Tonight Show is going to take some of your audience away tonight?
I think we'll be okay, man. I think we'll be okay. We got him on demand. And then, of course, the pirated internet streams. We definitely got him on that one.
So it's Vin Armani. The show's called Gigolos. It's on tonight, 10 o'clock Chicago time. Gigolos on Showtime. VinArmani.com, at Vin Armani on Twitter. So
I watched, I think, last week's episode. You gave a woman a foot rub.
Yes.
Was that last week?
I did.
Or the week before?
That was last week. Last week was the foot rub, and Brace O'Bradley dressed up as a centaur.
Yes, that's what it was, the centaur. Yeah. I felt like that was an awkward one for you. Like, she just felt like she had a hard time. She didn't know how to make conversation. She was very awkward, like when you go to give someone a hug and then they just put out their hand for a handshake, and it was like that sense of she needed you to basically, like, just start rubbing her feet to calm her down.
Yeah, she was very nervous, but, like, super sweet girl.
Yeah.
Super sweet, like, super easy going. You know, you meet those girls who are just kind of like, I like them. You know, the ones who are, they're kind of shy, but they're friendly, you know what I mean? And you just know that they're kind of a freak deep down, you know what I mean? They just need it brought out of them, so.
But
she was cool, she was great.
But I also kind of then got the sense that once she said, like, oh, this is relaxing, I like this a lot, this is perfect, you know, I feel more comfortable now. I think almost immediately she said, I'm going to call you again. And it's like, whoa, I just got here. Stage
yeah.
five
yeah,
clinger.
Yeah, enjoy the moment before you start worrying about next.
She was
next?
Already saying, I've never done this before, but it's been great. Walked in.
That's a good point, Vin, that Ryan just made. Don't you notice that girls or whoever, some of your clients, whatever, they just can't enjoy the moment. They're always worried about the next step. Oh, so you're going to call me again, Vin, or what? Can we hang out next week, or what? Can I order you again? How do I do this?
People have a problem with that in general, but you know, it's not when it's your business, that's always what you want to hear. It's like, oh, I haven't done anything, and you're already okay. Let me pull out my phone, let me get my calendar ready. You know what I mean? So I'm okay with that. I'm okay with it.
Vin, as a gigolo though, do you ever have appointments where they only want a foot massage, and then you're kind of trying to creep out after only doing the foot massage? Like, you're cool. You're like, you're trying to, like, put them to sleep with the foot massage, kind of, so you can leave.
do a little aromatherapy, you know what I mean? Put on some relaxing music. Just, it's okay. Go to sleep. It's all good.
Yeah. Like, do you ever do that?
I mean, look, I definitely try to give as much time, shall we say, to the finer points of it, you know, before there's just an all out bang fest going on. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't try to do that, but sometimes it happens. Who knows, you know? It's whatever's clever.
Because aren't there a lot of girls who just want you to, like, take them to dinner and, like, you know, my dream is to go to this fancy restaurant with a handsome man.
And then spoon.
Yeah, yeah, and spoon all night.
Yeah, I want to be Big Spoon, and we'll have our, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's there's a lot of women that want to do that, especially Vegas, man, because women want to travel out here and they want to, you know, they don't have anybody to come with, but they want to see Cirque du Soleil, and they want to go to a five-star meal, and they just, you know, they want to know that they're going to have fun the whole night. So, you know, I'm definitely down for that. It's more bang for my buck, if you will.
How hard do you push that Michael Jackson show? You're like, hey, he does the moonwalk off the wall. You're like, and you're just thinking in your head, that's 3 hours. Like, you have 8 hours where you're like, 3 hours here. You're like, hey, you know they're building a Ferris wheel behind Harrah's. That's 2 hours. Hey, let's go to Fremont Street. There's an 80s band playing, you know, Quiet Riot covers.
Do you like wax museums?
Yeah, let's go to the wax. You're like, that's 3 hours. And then, oh, do you like betting on sports games? You know, the Lakers are playing tonight. And then before you know it, you're 9 hours in. You're like, oh, you know what, babe? You're already into overtime. So that's $7.50 for this extra.
How about you pay me to watch you in a Texas Hold'em tournament, huh? 8 hours.
Well, you know that Ferris wheel, you're stuck on it for a half hour.
Yeah, so right there.
It's not yet ready to go, but believe me, that's going to be in my repertoire. Believe me.
So when I was in Vegas for Sam's wedding a few weeks ago, Vin actually met up with us, me and my cousin, the closer, and I'll tell you, what a great time. This guy really knows how to, you know.
Walk us through this, because I've been waiting to hear this story since Abe got back from Vegas, and he wouldn't tell me anything.
Well, okay, so first of all, we were at Fremont Street, which is like the old Vegas. Actually, Bae, see if you get that taxi cab driver on the phone. I had the craziest cab driver ever. He was on, I think he was on Molly's, and he was speeding. He was drunk going 9 miles an hour. He's like, yeah, man, yeah. He was crazy. So we go to Fremont Street. I meet Vin at this,
like video. This must be like your home base, right, Vin, where you do all your stuff?
Yeah, I love Fremont. Like, I'm there. If somebody was looking to find me during the day or early evening, it's probably going to be somewhere in East Fremont, which is kind of like the hip, cool area right now.
So we go there, and Vin and I, we meet at this bar, and then I had a bunch of other people on the, you know, the tourist side of Fremont Street. So we walk over there, and there's this 80s band on stage. I walked in the bathroom, and I saw the lead singer. Right when I walked in, he was coming out of this, like, he had just got, you know, he was just in the stall taking care of business. And it smelled horrible in there. And he comes right, like, anytime you walk out of a stall, you have that ashamed look on your face. Like, you look up, you know, you don't want to make any eye contact. You don't want to talk to anyone. I'm like, hey, man, exactly. That was an awesome cover you did of Quiet Riot's Mental Health. He's like, oh, thanks, man. Yeah, he didn't want to. I'm like, yeah, your Van Halen cover was great, too. Yeah, cool, bro. Cool, man. Cool. Let me, like, you want to have an awkward conversation? Talk to someone as they're walking out of a stall. That's always a bad conversation. So we're hanging out there. Then Vin's like, hey, you know, my buddy could hook us up. So we go to this strip club, which is this is a real strip club. All the girls in there were like ridiculous. So we go in there. Vin hooks us up. We get like, you know, a bottle and all this stuff. And then
did they all like know him? Like, oh, hey, Vin.
Oh, of course. Oh, yeah.
How are you?
Yeah. He walks right in. The guy's like, oh, I have your ticket. They kicked people out of a VIP area to let us sit there.
So
then some stripper comes up to me and she's like, so it's $1,500 for everything. Let's go back to the room. I'm like, what? This is a strip club. What's going on here?
Wow.
First, yeah. Let me get a drink.
Yeah. Yeah.
Easy.
It's so funny. Like, like some of the strippers were just trying to like actually, they were actually, you know.
Just hookers.
Yeah. Let's go back. Yeah. Let's do this.
Yeah, absolutely.
But Vin, didn't you say you meet more girls at strip clubs than anywhere else, right?
Oh, man, for me, since I was a kid, that's pretty much, if I'm going to go pick women up, I just go straight to the strip club. I don't even bother with the nightclub.
How does one pick up a woman at a strip club?
Well, first, you don't look like you, Bass. That's one thing. You look like Vin. helps.
In that case, I'll never leave my house again.
I will tell you the two basic things that you never want to do if you want to take a woman home. One, never get a lap dance from her, and two, never buy her a drink. But if she goes on stage to dance and you're digging her, like, get $21 bills and just kind of throw them up in the air, you know? It's going to make a huge impact. I'm telling you, honestly, that's where most guys screw up. They like the girl, so they get a lap dance. Instead of being like, oh, let's just have a conversation, you know, and then she feels special, and then take her home.
Wow, that's a good tip.
Yeah, big tip there. I mean, the strippers are not going to like that I'm sharing those tips, but yeah, that's a little gigolo secret right there.
I'll tell you this, Vin really did show me, like, he drove me around a little bit, and I got to see, because, you know, when you're a tourist, all you know is the strip. You don't really understand just the layout of everything. Pawn Stars is on some shady street. Like, we drove past that.
No, a pawn shop on a shady street?
So wait, Vin, when you picked up Abe, was Showtime like, so what do you mean you're picking up a guy?
Showtime?
What's gonna happen here?
No.
What
do you mean you're picking up a guy?
Wait, Bass, you think we were filming the show?
Maybe they're trying to find out, like, where are you going tonight? I'm picking up a dude.
Vin, you're
confused.
Vin, you gave us tips about, you know, picking up a stripper. Now, let's help the guys out for Valentine's. Like, just general information for guys who are looking for a special day for Valentine's Day. What could you tell them?
Are these guys who have girlfriends or don't?
Either one. Let's start with guys who are single.
Okay, guys who are single, do not stay home on Valentine's Day. Do not. What you want to do is you want to hit... I think we may have had this discussion before, Abe.
What did you say? You said you go to the place where the single girls are at, obviously, right?
Well, you want to go to, like, bars that are sort of like martini bars are great. The kind of bars where, like, girls that you would hear girls talking about, they're going to go with their girlfriends when they go out for, like, girls' night. You want to go to those spots on Valentine's Day because it's a guaranteed score. Guaranteed.
And if they're out on Valentine's Day, Vin, isn't it that they're angry at all men and they really want to take someone home?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, yeah. You might get a, like a, but an angry bang, you know, so it'll be a lot of fun.
And you make girls, how do you make a girl feel special? Because I noticed, like, the girl Ryan was talking about, she was, you really made, like, you told her she was cute, and you're like, oh, I'm so happy how cute, and, you know, she looked, you know, she was nothing special, obviously. So you really made her feel at home, and
not obviously. I think a part of it is not saying things like that. So I think that's all
exactly,
it is.
Yeah,
that's,
exactly.
That's really all you need to figure out.
Smile, that's the key. Everything you say, say it with a smile, even if it's the most, and then say something super dirty. Super dirty and super crass, but say it with a smile, like, you know, like you're welcoming them into a hotel and you're like a front desk person at a five-star. Like, oh, sir, hi, so happy to see you. It's like, oh, I want to smack those beautiful butt cheeks of yours, you know what I mean? It's like with the same smile, though.
Hmm.
But isn't it different when you're coming in as a gigolo as opposed to coming in as just Vin, the regular guy?
I mean, it's the same person, really. You know what I mean? I mean, on the clock, obviously, I'm a little different. I'm a little sweeter or whatever. I try to care for their feelings a bit more. But, you know, I think off the clock, I'm still a pretty good guy.
I think
a lot of game.
But I think, Vin, what Abe is saying is, isn't it, it's a bit easier for you to transition right into that because obviously they know what you're doing there, but I mean, if Abe, you know, met someone on ChristianMingle.com and he shows up with like a couple daffodils, I mean, he's not gonna say, oh, hi, I want to slap your butt cheeks. I mean, he would be right back in his car in 30 seconds. I mean, it works when you do it.
Right.
You know,
right,
and
right,
it might take
right,
us
right.
A little bit longer of the hotel smiling before we say the thing about the butt cheek.
Was I not supposed to say that? Was that wrong of me?
You know, I will say this. This is one of the biggest things that I have learned over the years, that one of the things that you need to, like, pay attention to or look at, listen for, and try to judge is be a good judge of what you think a woman's insecurities are. And then before she gets a chance to tell you that it's really her insecurity, compliment her on it.
Dang.
Right?
That's
like
the
nice
tip right
nice
there.
Gut? Or is it like your stomach's beautiful?
But, no, but if it's something like, you know, you could tell that maybe she's, you know, got a little more on her, say, you know what, I'm so glad that like that I'm hanging out with you because I can't stand women who are just like little and frail. I think your body is just, it's beautiful, it's perfect, it's exactly what I like.
But
now
Vin,
you just eliminated her insecurity.
But Vin, when you say that to a girl who feels like she's overweight, she immediately knows that you know, because anything she hears about her weight, I know you're complimenting her on it, but she knows in her head like, oh, so I'm not tiny and petite.
You don't do it overboard, right? So if she's 300 pounds, you don't do it. But it's like, then you find something else that might be maybe an insecurity for her, you know what I mean? So it's like, you want to listen
her
and you want to find those things. A wheelchair? Come on, man.
I'm just giving an example.
I mean, hey, if you're really, you want to try to not lie. Like, for me, I actually do like girls who are a little bit thicker.
Yeah,
you know,
it is
so
better.
Fine.
Skinny, if they're too skinny, it feels like just poles, right? Like sticks.
Exactly. I mean, I also like girls with, sometimes I do prefer girls with smaller boobs. That's always something that, like, if you run across a woman who's got sort of, it's too small or chested, that's always going to be an insecurity for her. So it's one of those things to not say it in a crass way, but to kind of bring it up and be like, you know, I'm really not so much of a boob man. Like, I really kind of just prefer a woman who's a little more natural in that area and blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? And it's true for me. It's just how you bring it up. So, I mean, it's all those ways of making a woman feel special and safe and all of that, that it's that she fits with your ideal of what beauty is.
And shouldn't you always say you like their hair and or shoes? Like, nice shoes.
I don't know, man. Is that like, it's maybe a little gay?
Yeah, that's a little gay, because if you're looking at, the shoes are one of the first things you notice. That's probably, I mean, and a woman wants you to notice her own features, not the
but
shoes.
Vin,
there's got to be a better way of saying it than nice shoes.
Right. No, what if I said, hey, I like your Louis Vuitton red bottoms? Then that shows I know high class.
I think you'd want to say something like, oh, man, you know what? Those shoes are so sexy. They make your legs just look fantastic. Something like that, where you're commenting on how it makes her legs look.
He needs to have an app.
Yeah, you're right, Ben.
You did have an app where people could just say weird lines and you could just reiterate how it would sound.
Yeah,
better.
Like Ben, like I type in nice shoes and then it comes up. Those shoes make your legs look fantastic.
I want to motorboat your boobs. Yeah. Actually, your breasts are perfect.
Yeah, you have beautiful, yeah. beautiful breasts.
That would be hilarious. That's actually really funny, guys. That's kind of a good idea. I'm not gonna lie.
Well, Bass actually came up with a good idea for once.
I was paying attention to this interview.
You know what I gotta say, Vin, and I respect you for this, and I think you're helping out America with this show. Gigolos is all about safe sex. And Vin Armani has had sex with more women than most guys listening ever will. And they'll never have as much sex as he's had. And he's never, gotten one of these girls pregnant. Why? Safe sex. Why is it a guy is gonna meet a girl at a bar tonight and get her pregnant? Use a condom, right, Vin?
Yeah, but, and you know what? Here's another little tip I don't even know why I'm giving all these tips, man. I'm giving away all the secrets. Go online. I go on Amazon for this, but a lot of people don't know this, but the Japanese condoms, I mean, if you're someone who isn't Japanese, you generally are probably going to have to get one of their large size ones. Don't get the normal size ones. It'll be crazy when they get shipped in. Their latex is like 5 times thinner, but yet stronger than like the American latex. The truth is, I don't know how it hasn't made it over here, but they have condoms. The company Okamoto has like maybe 5 or 6 condoms that I swear by that literally women will tell me, okay, you need to check because it doesn't feel like there's anything on. Like it really feels like nothing.
Ryan, what's the over under that when I go to Okamoto.com, you're going to see Vin Armani on the box?
I would love to represent them. I would bring them to the States, man. But I've been importing them for years now.
Ah, like Cubans. He opens it up and just takes a sniff. Japanese latex. Nothing finer.
Vin, do condoms, they eventually have an expiration date, right? So do you buy what do you buy, like 100 at a time or something, or?
Yeah, usually about that. Yeah, usually about 100 at a time.
And what does that last you for 100?
A week?
Maybe like 2 months.
Oh, nice. Like that's not too bad. And I'm sure using multiple ones on some of the lucky ladies and such.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, go ahead, Sam.
You know, Vin, I just found this on the web. They're actually so thin that the average thickness of human hair is 0.06 millimeters. The average thickness of Japanese condoms is 0.01 millimeters.
Wow.
That's correct.
What? The average thinness is almost invisible.
0.01 millimeters.
Vin, how do you put it on if you can't see it?
These are the high-end Japanese condoms.
You can see it, man, but they have the ones that are called the Okamoto 0.02, I mean, literally, it feels like absolutely nothing. They're too small for me, even their largest size, but I mean, some guys, if you can fit one of those things, they're magic.
These are the 0.01s, and somebody, blog is calling them the pinnacle of Japanese engineering.
How much are, they're not like $100 each, are they?
I'm not sure.
They're pretty expensive. They're about $2 to $3.
That sounds worth it to me. $2 or $3?
Dude, it's so worth it. So worth it.
You know what I compare that to, Vin? It's like the people who won't pay the $10 for Showtime, but they'll go to a bar and get a Red Bull and vodka for $14. So, like, if you're not going to pay $2 for a condom that's that much better, but, but I have to spend, you know, $7 on a coffee, it makes no – people just are weird with their money management.
Because that $14 Red Bull and vodka makes that 300-pound woman a little bit more useful.
And then you're using those crappy condoms.
Exactly. The $2 condom will prevent the woman that's next to you from turning into a 300-pound woman with a kid that you have to pay for the rest of your life. You know
exactly.
So $2 is worth it to me.
Now there's the moral lesson from a gigolo.
And I want to make a recommendation for all the women listening. If you need a gigolo, if you need a guy in your life, do not go to, and guys listening too, do not go on Backpage. A teacher that taught a mile from where I went to high school just got killed in Chicago by 2 Backpage chicks. They stabbed him to death. Vin Armani will not kill you, number one.
That's actually his slogan on his website.
Yeah, I'm not gonna kill you.
Wow.
You'll have a better time with him. And he's not going to just like show up with baby wipes and leave, like go to the next client. He's actually going to, if he's with you, that's who he's with for the night. And it's going to be a real experience. You pay for what you get. Okay. So basically Backpage is like Golden Corral and Vin Armani is like Chicago Cut.
There you go.
So
I like that.
You pay for what you get. If you get a chick or a guy off Backpage, they're going to show up with baby wipes. Oh, let me clean up real quick. And then I'll meet you in the, where do you want to go, in the bathroom? Like, no. High quality Vin Armani.
Yes, sir. Cool.
Before we let you go, Vin, I was a little worried about you because I noticed on the show that you've been drinking a lot more and... Even Ash, the spiritual guy, on this week's episode, it seems like he's becoming more of an alcoholic. And what's going on with you guys and all the drinking?
Well, I think part of it is that I have a new vodka now, a vodka label company that I own. And so
what's that called?
Japanese vodka, and it's very thin.
It is not. It's baby vodka, which is spelled B-E-B-I, and it's absolutely amazing. And since now that we pretty much have the keys to the safe in the liquor department, we did get a little rowdy during filming, but, we've way toned it down. Way, I think, maybe, kind of. It's Vegas, man. It's Vegas. Come on.
Yeah, you can't say it's Vegas when you live in Vegas.
Exactly.
Otherwise, you're an alcoholic.
Yeah, you don't have that excuse, man. You live there.
And whatever you do in Vegas is on television.
It's Vegas when you're there for 4 days a year. Yeah. Right. Oh, Vegas, man. Yeah. Yeah. No, you're there all year.
Doesn't work that way, dude.
We have fun, bro. We have fun.
All right. Well, it's Gigolos. It comes on in 35 minutes right after our show. If you haven't seen Gigolos, it's a great show. It's not like... Oh, I don't want to see dudes having sex. No, there's chicks on there, too, and they're pretty hot. So I recommend.
And what I want to say, hey, man, is you guys have been such huge supporters of the show since season one when nobody really knew if it was going to succeed or not. And it is Showtime's highest-rated weekday show.
Wow.
And they don't spend any money on marketing. It's been all word of mouth and people who love it. And you guys have been supporters from the beginning. So, like, we love you guys, and we really appreciate it, and it's meant a lot to us. So just thank you.
Well, thank you.
Very good.
And next time Abe goes out there, maybe you can front the bill on that $1,500 for him, huh?
What's
up, Vin? What's up, Vin?
So watch it tonight, Showtime, 10 p.m., and then go to Vin Armani. If you want to rent, hook up with Vin, VinArmani.com or at Vin Armani on Twitter. Vin, always fun talking to you, man.
Hey, great talking with you guys, man. Cool.
We'll be right back. It's Abe Cantrell, WGN FM.
Cool.
Yes, I understand that every life must end. Uh-huh. As we sit alone, I know someday we must go. Uh-huh. Oh, I'm a lucky man to count on both hands the ones I love. Some folks just have fun, yeah, others they got none. Stay with me, yeah, let's just breathe.
It's Abe Cannon Show, WGN FM. Always fun having Vin Armani on the show. You want to find us? Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, abecannon.com. Podcasts of every show available on WGN.FM. The new ones come right the next morning. So tonight's show will be up there tomorrow morning, like 10 a.m.-ish. If you want to listen, you can listen to the first. What's tonight? The third show? Fourth
show? This is the fourth show.
It's the fourth show. We'll be live tomorrow also if you want to listen. Spread the word, as they say. If you want to call in, 312-235-2525. You guys see Clay Aikens running to be a congressman?
Yes. How did that go down? How did that happen? Who told him that was a good idea?
Yeah.
the promoters when they said, no, we're not interested in having you sing.
Yeah, exactly.
That's that. It, they didn't, you know, tell him that that was kind of, maybe I'll do politics.
That has to be it, right? I mean, it's like, cause there, he,
well, yeah, when all the Claymates disappeared and became Beliebers, it was time to, get out.
Well, he had a brief stint on Celebrity Apprentice, and for some reason that he thinks that made him seem, educated. Cause he was one of the finalists, but.
Oh, was he?
I still don't take him seriously to be a congressional leader.
Do you think in the back of his head he's hoping the Republican Party doesn't bust out Ruben Studdard to run against him? It's like, I just can't beat Ruben, man. I just can't beat that Ruben.
Not you again.
And you know, in the back of Ruben's head, man, I got to run for Congress, man. I got Clay Aiken.
That would be like here in Illinois when the Republicans, who was the one black gentleman who ran against Obama?
Alan
Keyes, yeah. That was their Hail Mary was, we got to get a black guy.
Yeah. That's so Ruben we got to get an American Idol guy?
Yeah.
How pathetic would that be? That would be really pathetic for the Republican Party to bring out Ruben Studdard. Wouldn't it? I mean,
I bet Ruben would do it.
I was going to say, what buffet would they have to dig that guy out of?
No, dude, he was on Biggest Loser and Lost.
But they're done filming it, right?
Yeah.
So he's back.
Right.
There's no way he's still then.
He's back on the motorized scooter.
He's lost more weight than like, you know, he gets big, small, big, small, big, small. He's like John Goodman. Like sometimes you see him, he honestly looks like he needs a crane to move him. Then sometimes he has walkable features, you know?
Yeah, John Goodman was at the Oscars, I think.
Yeah, he looks okay.
He presented something.
But just recently he was
or
doing
the SAG award, some award show. He came out
and he was in some movie
slobbered
too.
All over.
But Goodman was doing voiceovers at one point for like food.
It's like the slushy burgers.
Yeah, it was it was for a restaurant, and he was describing mashed potatoes, and it made you want to vomit.
Yeah.
Buttery.
John, you know, you don't have to actually eat the food
potatoes.
You're describing while you're describing it, right?
Oh, they're so delicious.
Yeah, but it helps me.
Yeah.
It helps me describe it when it's falling out of my mouth.
But it actually, those are the kind of voices you need to put to disgusting food because you know that that makes you hungry.
And that, because
he
tell you
sounds
what,
like he wants to eat it.
And if I'm also a big fat person and I hear another respectable, you know, super fat person with food in their mouth describing food, that to me, that's like, that's turning me on.
That's a relatable like, moment.
Yeah, I want right. to, I can hear, listen to those food noises. Whereas someone, you know, who's satisfied, who just ate and they're full. And if they hear that.
Obviously, that fat person has a lot of choices, but he's picking this item. Maybe I should try it.
That tells me Ruben has a better chance in North Carolina than a gay millionaire named Clay Aiken. I don't see him being very relatable to people in North Carolina.
The funny thing about the whole thing is that whoever he's trying to run up against, he's trying to say that Washington, D.C. changed that person. He goes, I went to Hollywood, and it never changed me.
I actually have that clip. Here, listen to this. This is him talking about why we set it up, Ace.
This is him talking about why he would be the best fit to run for Congress.
I think that Washington is dysfunctional at this point. And I believe that the congresswoman who went to represent the second.
Hey, this guy's really on to something. Let's vote for Aiken, man.
And the funny thing is, it's not like when you actually see the video, it's not like he's sitting at a desk with like an American flag. He's sitting like this really like tall chair, like in the corner of his living room.
It looks like a terrorist video.
No,
I watched the video. That was actually the house where him and his destitute mother were taken in when they were on the streets by his mother's friend.
I think that Washington is dysfunctional at this point. And I believe that the congresswoman who went to represent the 2nd District of North Carolina had good intentions. I like to think she had good intentions. But she ended up in D.C., and was changed by it. You know, I went to Hollywood and I didn't let it change me. And I'll go to Washington and I won't let it change me.
Did you see Clay Aiken when he first came out? He was a nerd. He like that. Remember the makeover he got when? Because there was a minute there where Clay Aiken was one of the biggest artists in the United States.
Oh, he was humongous.
He was huge. Well,
I would never call him an artist though.
Well, whatever.
He was a big performer.
Yeah, big performer. And he completely changed his entire look. Hollywood didn't change me. No, they change you and then they spit you back out. And now you're back in North Carolina.
Isn't that what American Idol is? Don't they change you over the course of the show?
Yes.
And if you Google him, the things that will come up will be any kind of testimonial that he's ever given on the cosmetic surgery that he's gone through. Isn't that being changed?
So he's admitted to cosmetic surgery?
And I think that too many people go to D.C. now, go to Washington, and let it change them, and they forget that they're voting for, they're working for people back.
Who could relate to someone going to D.C.? Like, you're relating to no one. Aren't you supposed to
What does that have to do with him going to Hollywood?
Well, because D.C. changed her, you see. Hollywood kept him exactly how he was.
Carolina. And that's not something that I would do, or I will do.
And then here's the second clip.
I'm not a politician in the sense that...
No, that's it. You're not a politician. The clip should end right there.
Say in the sense that, if you want to finish the sentence, it's I'm not a politician in the sense that I'm not a politician.
Yeah, exactly. That's the clip. I'm not a politician. Few other things I want to get to that we can get to. Did you guys see Selena Gomez? I know you were upset about this, Sam. She was in rehab because she was addicted to pills and a bunch of other stuff.
That is crazy.
I wasn't upset.
Ambien and some other stuff.
I was upset because you were saying what a nice girl she is and how unfortunate it is that Bieber put her in rehab. We don't know any of that.
Well, she seems, honestly, everything I've seen from her, she seems like a really nice girl. And Bieber really, don't you think he's like Elvis?
Well, she was hanging out with Bieber. How nice could she be?
But don't,
totally agree
Elvis,
with you, babe.
Elvis would lay in the bed. Come on, baby, take one of these pills, baby. He'd force pills down girls' throats. Elvis. Did you ever see the movie? Hey, baby, come on, let's go to sleep, baby. And he put pills in. This is what Bieber did. Yo, you want to party with Biebs? You got to be taking these pills, girl.
But, Justin, I don't need that to have fun. But I do. So that means you do.
How messed up is it that all the drug dealers that sold drugs to Philip Seymour Hoffman all got arrested?
Yeah. Wrong guy to sell heroin.
Do you think if William, like, Seymour Goffman overdosed, anyone would care?
So why is that messed up that they got arrested?
Because because a celebrity died now you're going to crack the whip on these four drug dealers?
Yeah, really.
How many other people have overdosed off their... All heroin does is kill people.
Wait. Hold on. I think it's different because if Philip Seymour Goffman did die...
William.
And William Seymour Goffman did... pass away as a result of an overdose, and someone called and said, I know exactly where the people are, where he got the heroin that killed him. I know he is selling heroin that is killing people, and it is at this address. I've bought the same stuff from them that killed William Seymour Goffman.
Yeah.
And I mean,
that's confusing.
I think they might go check it out.
No, not that quick. They wouldn't have, like, the whole police force out getting these. We must get them. We must take them down.
I agree with you. Like, all right, just another crackhead died. It's on to the next
one. Yeah, how many... Heroin kills everyone, eventually.
How many people did they find that day that had needles in their arm?
Exactly. All four of them immediately get arrested? Come on. It's ridiculous. And what's with all the people who are putting on Facebook, I'm still in shock. Your uncle died last week. I didn't see you post anything. I'm still in... really? You're in shock? Did anyone look more disheveled than Philip Seymour Hoffman?
He just got out of went to rehab in May.
Yeah, he was...
I mean, he admitted to having an opiate addiction.
You know when you're in
he
shock?
He was clean for 20 years, I believe they said.
You're in shock when Taylor Swift dies of a heroin overdose. That's shocking. Philip Seymour Hoffman? I thought he already was dead.
No, I do think he always kind of had a disheveled look, but he was really only back on drugs for like a year.
It was one of those deaths where every time you learned another detail, you were just like, I want to hear more. They found a needle in his arm. They found 70 envelopes of heroin.
Yeah.
Give me more.
Yeah, more information keeps coming out.
Yeah.
I was kind of surprised at how much they kept revealing. Like, yeah.
Needle and blood blisters are in too.
You don't usually hear that gritty of detail.
His vein was actually out of the body.
Out of respect for the family, we are not going to provide any more detail.
There was
I
vomit.
Will, however, tell you that the needle was bent a bit to an angle, a 45-degree angle. So it did imply to me that he had an issue pulling it out. See, when it's in the vein, it's...
And the needle also pierced his chest.
They went into
There's
just
blood dripping from the...
detail.
It is, you're right, the amount of detail people must want, because you guys remember when Paul Walker died? They were saying, they were
crazy.
Trying to figure out what his last moment was, how he looked in the car after they found him, what position he was in. It's crazy that they give this kind of detail and that people even want to hear this kind of detail, because it makes me sick personally.
Happy 52nd birthday to my boy. I would never give a birthday thing on the radio except for one man, Axl Rose, 52nd birthday. Didn't you say he was talking crap about someone, Sam, in an editorial?
He wasn't really talking crap. He kind of did an Onion kind of joke editorial about Flea.
And
Rolling
the Super
Stone
Bowl.
About Flea not having his bass plugged in. He did a bit on that.
Tracy McGrady wants to play baseball. Now, I'm behind this. Like, Michael Jordan robbed us of two... You know what he really robbed us of? 3 to 4 championships, because they definitely would have won those two in between, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then they probably would have won a ninth. But if we never got Rodman, who knows what would happen? I'm happy with 6, I guess. But I do stand behind McGrady, who no one wants anything to do with him on the basketball court. Now it's time to play baseball.
And they say he can throw like 90, 91 miles an hour.
Really?
Who would have saw that coming?
So yeah. Where is he playing at?
For the same team that Roger Clemens played for, the Sugarland Skeeters of the Independent Atlantic League.
Oh, I was going to say he wasn't following Rodman in North Korea. They didn't have a team set up for him.
That's where he should go. I guarantee. You don't think Kim Jong-un would be all about Tracy McGrady?
I'm sure he loves him.
Oh, yeah.
If he loved Rodman in his prime, McGrady was awesome when he was with, the Raptors?
Yeah, McGrady actually played.
And Houston?
I don't know that Kim Jong-un has, a high standard for who he's going to champion. I mean,
no, it's true.
He's in that pool with. I mean, Rodman is available in the same on the same phone call as a Dustin Diamond. You could book Rodman for your event. Yeah. I mean, his standards aren't very high.
Alonzo Spellman.
He would take anyone.
Eddie Curry.
He would take anyone with an American passport
Eddie
to come over
Curry
there
from Chicago Bull.
And take a couple
you
pictures.
You
want
to come over here and play basketball?
Yeah, too. How much? Dennis told me you give me girls and sushi and paper.
We give all three. plane on the way right now.
you know Curry's the one guy who would have no reservations at all about going to North
Korea.
He'd be
on he wouldn't even, you know, Rodman now claims he was drunk.
Yeah.
Curry wouldn't do that.
My new home, man. I live here now.
He already speaks North Korean.
Yeah. Is that the language, North Korean?
Sure. Why not?
It's a new language.
Why not?
I invented a new language, North Korean.
All right, let's wrap the show up with a recap of the show. It's Mano's Memo.
If you're just joining us, here's what you missed. We kicked this, episode number 4 of the Abe Cannon Show on WGN-FM off, talking about the return of the polar vortex, which I guess would make it a bipolar vortex. this is a serious question. Is it the third installment? What we're dealing with now, would this be the third visit from the...
I believe it's the third, yes.
Got it. Okay. Polar Vortex 3, Adam's Family Reunion. That's what we'll call it. Whatever it is, we're done with it. And we came up with a few off-the-cuff ideas to help speed it along. Because, guys, it's so cold out.
How cold is it?
I saw Miley Cyrus get her tongue stuck to a pole on Michigan Avenue.
What was his name?
Abe suggests for starters that down on Michigan Avenue, the city starts by cutting the Christmas lights down.
Yeah.
Quote, no wonder it being the weather, no wonder it's still hanging around. It's confused. It thinks it's still Christmas. End quote. And after that, then we came up with this. Let's put it all in a big giant bucket in a plane, couple boxes, whatever, coolers, carry it over, and we drop it down on the Middle East, any areas that are particularly soaked with violence right now. If this can cut the Chicago murder rate in half in a year,
which is the worst anywhere.
Yeah. Imagine what it would do to folks who've never lived a day without being covered in sweat. I mean, they've never been cold. They don't know what cold. They don't know the word cold.
They would team up. They would team up to get shelter and get warm.
Mm-hmm.
The we could solve every issue with snow.
That's it. We have discovered that every violent confrontation from here on out can be erased with snow. Drop snow on it, and they no more fighting. Because, again, as Abe Cannon, I'm going to log this one into the quote book. Quote, terrorists don't wear coats.
They don't.
End quote. Which, side note, when you do see a terrorist in a coat, say something. Run.
Yeah, it's a bomb.
It's not good. Terrorists, he's got something. Or he's a flasher. A terrorist flasher.
But those are the only two options. Either way, it's going to be bad, right? You're either going to die or you're going to see something you don't want to see.
Right. That's right. A terrorist in a coat, bad.
Yeah.
Base told us about
snow in the Middle East, good.
We were talking, we mentioned Christmas and Base gave us a lesson on Jesus. Thank you for that, Base.
Yeah,
Base
you're
is
welcome.
Jewish. And Base told us about, one of his most joyous Hanukkahs, the year that he got the Nintendo a different part over 8 days until on the 8th day it formed a complete Nintendo. Except Sweet Mrs. Levy, she messed up though. She overestimated her son. She gave him the Nintendo console first, And boy, that thing was toast by day three.
Because he actually used it as a toaster.
He didn't even have the. It wasn't day four when he got the Duck Hunt gun yet, and the Nintendo was already.
But
already
Bob,
smashed.
A piece of bread fits right in.
Daniel, that's your video game, Daniel.
You just press down, right?
Yeah. It is funny though. I bet Bass already had the tricks figured out where he knows how to blow in the Nintendo before he even plugged the Nintendo.
Yeah, he's
in.
Trying to get crumbs out from the toast.
We decided that it's time. And this is going to sound crazy.
Did Bass invent blowing in the Nintendo? Because originally it was to get the crumbs.
Yeah,
someone saw
him do it.
Yeah. look at that weird, that yeah. fat, disgusting kid
and
blowing
then
through
the next,
Nintendo.
There was an issue of Nintendo Power, and someone wrote in and said, I saw my friend Dan blowing in his Nintendo.
And it
spread like wildfire. He was getting the crumbs out from the grilled cheese, but it seemed to work.
That's where he would hide food.
Yeah. We decided that it is time, and please, this is not as crazy as it sounds. Just hear us out. It is time to replace Santa Claus.
Yep.
With a gorilla. I'm telling you, let's do it next year. We'll see how it goes. We'll do a trial run, the Christmas gorilla. We'll call him Santa Claus, the Christmas gorilla to start, you know, then we'll phase out Santa Claus, but we'll just, you know, we don't want to make it too shocking at first. And here's why. It's time to stop lying to kids.
Yes.
We talked about tonight that we were born into 12, 13, 14, 15 years of pure deceit. We come into this world being lied to about everything, and then you've got kids like me and Abe going to school who can't recognize their own family members dressed up as Santa.
Yeah.
And it's time that ends. I mean, you know, dad's not in the room. I wish he could share this moment with me. Where's dad for this? He's Santa, and you can't tell what your own dad looks like. we're exposing too much face. So if we're not going to be honest with kids, we're going to put them in a gorilla costume and cover the whole face.
And it's especially hard for ethnic Santas.
It is. Yeah.
You're right. The gorilla, the black gorilla, or we make him the purple. He can be purple. Then there's, yeah, you know what? We're nipping some problems in the bud by making him purple, because then you know someone's going to be like, well, I want Santa to be white, a white gorilla. So we'll make him purple right off the bat.
Or
Santa Claus, the purple Christmas gorilla.
All right. Yeah, I mean, we could talk.
You missed my point entirely, but go ahead.
It doesn't matter.
No, I get it. I'm just saying there's going to be problems down the line if he's a black gorilla. People, just like how people say Santa Claus is white, they want him to be black.
I think we're going to run into a problem if we have a purple gorilla as Santa, too. I don't think the color of the gorilla is where we're going to get hung up at
okay,
replacing
green.
Santa.
Make him green.
Abe suggests that, you know, stop the lying, treat babies like adults. Instead of Michael or Mikey, your son is named Mike, and he knows how to turn on the stove, and, you know, he's got the spare key is under the mat, and, I don't know, put a sock on the door if you're frogging her. I mean, I don't know.
When are you gonna get a job, Mike?
Yeah. Jennifer Charles, I see you brought Mike with you. How old is he now? 3 months. Hi, Mike.
Say hi. Mike, say hi.
Mike,
usually
with your uncle.
Got a firm handshake. This Mike,
you can't shake your uncle's hand, Mike.
He can't even make a fist.
Don't worry. Once his pacifier comes out, he won't be able to stop talking.
I don't think he can see yet.
We quickly mentioned Rocky IV, and just a quick side note: Rocky IV we talked about tonight has two fantastic montages. Whereas the new Sylvester Stallone movie has none. Actually, no fantastic parts at all. Kind of like Sylvester Stallone's face. It's, you just stare at it and try to figure out what you're looking at. I'm telling you, next time you see Sylvester Stallone's face, let your eyes just latch on and they will go lazy. His face does not compute to the human eye.
What if he was a Medusa? You just turn into
stone. Some transformation's coming. I don't know what it is, but Sylvester Stallone's turning into something. He's molting. Sam told us about the time that Thurman Thomas walked out of a tunnel to confront him. Young Sam was wearing a Thurman Thomas jersey. Couldn't wait to meet his idol, Thurman Thomas, who, after the Bears game... came walking towards Sam. Sam started clapping and said, Abe, this is it. It's finally happening. And Thurman Thomas got in his face, shook his head no, and walked away. Got on the bus, never to be seen again.
That's awesome.
That was a good time. Sam still had the poster?
No, I gave it to Abe.
we talked about Facebook and took a look back at the Facebook look back videos. The look back video about Facebook look back videos is a complete disaster. It's just it's a couple screen grabs of people saying my look back video sucked.
Yeah.
By the way, one other note on the Facebook look back videos. Mark Zuckerberg he posted this really, really boring post that I don't recommend reading, but I'll save you the time. There's one line in it. This is a quote from Zuckerberg. I remember getting pizza with my friends one night in college, shortly after opening Facebook. I told them I was excited to help connect our school community, but one day someone needed to connect the whole world, end quote.
God.
Wow.
Note to self, never get pizza with Mark Zuckerberg. Jeez.
What a horrible time.
My God. Oh, really, Mark? Tell me more. You want to connect the whole world.
Yeah.
Can I get you guys another Coke? Jeez, we raise the glass to a true American hero, G.I. Joe, celebrating 50th birthday.
Yep.
What do you say to the Army guys? What is it?
Hoorah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Army is hooah. Mm-hmm. Marines is hoorah.
Right.
And the Navy is hi.
That's what it is. That's right. Before 1964, that begs the question, G.I. Joe being 50 years old, what did boys play with besides Tinker Toys and rocks? That was an Abe Cannon question tonight. I don't know when they came out. Hopefully it wasn't Cabbage Patch Kids. Because I don't want anyone to go through what Abe and I went through tonight. Yeah. We uncovered some deep memories. Abe and I blocked a lot of that out.
That was deep in the back of my head. That
I don't
was
remember
weird coming out. It's
the
like we were in therapy or
that
something.
Abe and I both at the same time both remembered that there was a stretch of time where we carried around Cabbage Patch Kids like babies.
You guys were nursing at the exact same time.
Connects a lot of dots.
Yeah, right.
Fellas.
We might have been feeding our dolls at the same time.
Connects a lot of dots.
And the more I think about it, Bay said, I don't remember any other guys having Cabbage Patch Kids. And Abe and I both said, yeah, they did. But I don't either.
I was shocked that you had one. Patrick.
Yeah, me and Patrick. Patrick, see, I would bring Patrick to the dinner table, and my mom would keep the charade going and just rub Gerber all over his face until my dad couldn't stand looking at it anymore and flip the table. So happy birthday, G.I. Joe.
You ever wonder why your parents had so much tension when you were younger? It was because
of
your stupid
Patrick.
Child Patrick.
Yeah.
You're the one that gave him the Cabbage Patch Kid.
Yeah. I mean, we know, again, just we know what people like Bass, kids like Bass did, when they didn't have certain amenities like a plug for their Nintendo console. They played games like Injury Victim. Bass told us
why you gotta bring up old stuff.
Bass told us previously, and I thought it was worth mentioning here, that he and his brother would play Injury Victim, where Bass would be on trial or suing a building because of some asbestos in the ceiling, and his brother would be the prosecutor.
And basically said we're an expert. <Yeah. laughs>
Fellas, so, it still sounds a lot cooler than feeding Gerber to Patrick
Cabbage
Patch Kid.
You're right.
I'll take the injury victim.
Vin Armani from Gigolos joined us. Gigolos, of course, on Showtime. Actually, right when this show ends, Showtime.
In 4 minutes.
Scrap Leno. You've already seen him retire once. We learned one of Vin's new moves tonight, a foot rub. He does it to put him to sleep so he can creep on out. That's what he said. Another one of his moves is that he registers in Texas Hold'em tournaments, so he doesn't. That's 3 hours eating out of his pocket, especially
poker.
The big ones. It's perfect. I registered you. Hope you can play poker. Abe and Vin reminisced about their time in Vegas a few weeks ago. Abe was out there for Sam's wedding, stayed a few extra nights, and did it big with Vin. One night that sounded legendary. They went out to a nightclub, just like a spot for some drinks. Then, of course, later in the night, they hit the strip club, got rowdy, a little too rowdy, because they left after 10 minutes, and Vin gave Abe a tour of Las Vegas. He drove me everywhere, guys. He showed me where he went to school. He showed me the post office.
Showed me Pawn Stars.
Vin told us you walk up to, he walks into a girl's house. His trick is to smile like he's at a hotel front desk. They then say something super dirty like, I want to slap your butt cheeks. And we realize that only works if you're there because she paid you to be there to slap her butt cheeks. We can't do that. Abe Cannon quote book, describing skinny girls. A lot like Andy from the 40-Year-Old Virgin, quote, it feels just like poles. Poles and sticks.
It's like two bags of sand.
My God. Vin did recommend, you notice what a girl's self-conscious about. If it's, one part of her body, you compliment that. And Abe said, say, hey, nice gut. Nope, not what he means. Also, Japanese condoms. We learned those are fantastic. Japanese condoms are the way to go.
They're super thin.
Are we out of time?
Whatever.
Vin's been importing Japanese condoms for years. I will say they're the .0 ones. They're the Cuban cigar of condoms. A bit higher end, but there's nothing quite like Mr. McFeely bringing the shipment, opening that case up, and taking a whiff of Japanese latex. It's very nice. He then mentioned another product, baby vodka, but he didn't say much on that one. Based on the title, it's one of two things. Vodka made for babies or vodka made from babies. Not sure. We do thank Vin for joining us. I'm going to have to update my pickup lines from U18. And, are you a beaver? Cause damn! That's Mano's memo for the Abe Cannon Show on WGN FM.
That's right. And we're back live tomorrow. Go to abecannon.com. You want to follow us? Do everything there. And we'll see you guys tomorrow night. We out!
Peace!
Levy Media.
David Blaine, your magic is real and I believe in you.